Good evening. Welcome to the September 6th, 2016 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May we have the roll call of members, please?
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis will be arriving later this evening. Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne? Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Maury?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
12 members present.
We have quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
There will be an executive session tonight regarding real estate matter. Let's go to privilege of the floor for the public. This is the opportunity that any member of the public has to speak to us about any topic for up to 3 minutes. Before I do that, I forgot my housekeeping to mention that there are emergency exits at the back of the room to my right and to the front of the room to my left. In case of a fire, don't use the elevator, please. And please silence your cell phones before we start privilege of the floor. Anyone who wants to speak on privilege of the floor needs to sign one of the blue cards in the back of the room and pass it up. And by signing the blue card and requesting to speak, you're agreeing to abide by our rules, which is that you are agreeing to the three-minute time limit. You're agreeing not to raise your voice. You're agreeing not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. You're agreeing not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, you agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. You agree that if you cause a disruption and are asked to leave, you will leave the chambers. There's a countdown clock on the wall to my left over here. It'll count down the 3 minutes, at the end of which there will be an audible ring, sound like a telephone, and we're asking that if you haven't finished by then, to please conclude. We have several blue cards tonight. I'll start with Ross Horowitz. Please come to the microphone and state your municipality, and please go ahead.
Is that on? Is it on? Yeah, it should be on. I live in Denny, and I'm here to talk about the Dominion pipeline issue. Can you hear me now?
Not real well. Can you move it up a little bit? Can we try the other mic, perhaps? Better. I think maybe if you raised it, it would help.
Oh, the battery?
Try that. Yeah, I think it's better.
Yeah. Evidently the battery's low.
Hey, kids, join the AV club.
Thank you for your indulgence here, and it's not accounted against you time-wise. We'll just start.
I have three comments and a brief statement. The first comment... sense of comment has to do with the pipeline company Dominion saying that FERC offers assurance to us that their compliance with FERC is something we can count on for safety and environmental issues. I have two personal experiences with FERC. One of them has to do with the hearing they had for the compression station and shed, and the other one has to do with correspondence regarding the Lake Seneca gas storage in the caverns. And both personal experiences give me no assurance that Dominion's compliance with FERC is anything I can count on for public safety or any environmental issues. The third comment has to do with what's in the name. New Market Pipeline is chosen for investors to be attracted to the new market. It's not named, well, this is a pipeline that will give excess capacity where it's not needed, et cetera, et cetera. It's a new market. What is the new market? They deny that it's outside the United States. They say it's upstate New York. Gas-Free Seneca has demonstrated that the capacity here is sufficient. Downstate, a few days ago in the New York Times, in Brooklyn, where Brooklyn Union Gas was...
Sorry.
Where Brooklyn Union Gas was supposed to take over the assurance that no gas will be shipped out of the country, they've overbuilt and they're worried about occupancy. So the guarantee, quote unquote, that no gas will leave for a new market doesn't hold. My statement is my sense of the situation. There's an unwritten law that says when a ship is sinking, the captain goes down with the ship. My view is that the fossil fuel industry is a sinking ship. But they want the captain to go down with the ship. They want the ship's officers, the ship's crew, and all the passengers to go down with it. The actions here tonight are a chance to stop that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry for the trouble with the microphones. Mr. Elmer Ewing, and then after him is Walter Hang.
Thank you. I live in the town of Ithaca, and thank you for the chance to speak here. I want to talk about economics and the cost-benefit ratio. I've written to all of you about other concerns, but this is just about the economics part. There are benefits to the pipeline. Do they outweigh the cost? My son lives just south of Fort Lauderdale, and right now, every so often, they have to drive through a lot of water on the streets. When the tide is high, winds in a certain direction, the ocean is rising. It's gotten warmer. The ice is melting, and the ocean is going up. The rising ocean will eventually reach New York City. Remember what happened with Sandy. When it does, who pays for it? Fort Lauderdale is already trying to remediate the problem, but it's going to be expensive just for the small problem they have now. They're going to have a much bigger one. The flooding in Louisiana, taxpayers will help pay. On the other extreme, drought in California. We pay more for fruits and vegetables. And drought in Ithaca. Anybody noticed? The farmers are suffering. There's going to be a cost there. We could go on, but global climate change is already hitting our pocketbooks. And unless we drastically change our ways, it's going to cost us more and more. The pipeline means more climate change. Methane has leaked out. We know what it does. And the presence of the pipeline is a disincentive to investing in alternative energy. So there are two important ways that it's going to increase climate change. The benefits are no way worth the costs. I support the resolution and ask for much stronger action as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hang, and then Susan Moulter.
Greetings. My name is Walter Hang. I respectfully urge members of the Tompkins County Legislature to vote in favor of a resolution which requests that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation hold a public hearing in Tompkins County regarding the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project. This resolution is extremely important because the existing Dominion pipeline has caused extensive water pollution problems at various locations along its 200-mile alignment. Many of the uncontrolled releases were never cleaned up to state standards, including at the Borger compressor station on Ellis Hollow Creek Road. That is why I believe the proposed project must not receive a Section 401 water quality certification required for the pipeline expansion to proceed. Since last December, I have compiled detailed Department of Environmental Conservation spill incidents data, which document more than 120 major pipeline problems, including massive fires, explosions, ruptures, and toxic discharges. These contamination releases often cause water quality violations that exceeded applicable standards and remain administratively active many years after being reported. Yet citizens are not being afforded an opportunity to voice concerns about water pollution hazards at any of the public hearings regarding the proposed New Market expansion of the existing Dominion pipeline. I urge you to pass the resolution to address that public participation shortcoming. In addition to requesting a local hearing with expanded scope, I also request that the resolution be amended to oppose the Dominion New Market Pipeline because it would, A, cause additional toxic pollution hazards in Tompkins County as well as across New York, B, help perpetuate America's addiction to fossil fuels, and C, contribute to global climate change. New York would derive virtually no benefits from the New Market Pipeline expansion because we already have all the natural gas we need to heat homes, cook food, and power our economy. The proposed project is mainly a transmission pipeline intended to convey fracked natural gas from Pennsylvania through New York to regional markets in New England. Governor Cuomo has been asked to adopt a moratorium on granting any approvals for new fossil fuel infrastructure projects by a total of 22 state legislators. In addition, more than 1,100 citizens, local elected officials, and grassroots organizations across New York and the rest of the nation are signatories to a coalition letter which echoes that request. I believe this is the only way to end our state's and our nation's addiction to natural gas, coal, and oil. New York has more than enough energy generating capacity for the coming decade, including ample backup. We have all the natural gas, oil, and petroleum products required to keep our economy going strong. The key thing is I urge you to take action now because the deadline for comment is ending the 12th, and so if you don't take action today, you're going to miss the boat. Thank you.
Thank you. Susan Moulter, and then Reggie Teasley.
Susan Moulter, Town of Ithaca. With other people like Walter Hang giving great detail on the problems of leaks, explosions, contamination of air and water, not only in Tompkins County but downwind, I just want to say a few things on a bigger picture. We know that we currently don't do extraction and production of natural gas in New York State. I hope that continues. But by building infrastructure that enables other states, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, to move its fracked gas through New York State, we are still enabling, in fact, encouraging that to happen elsewhere. And most of us are pretty clear that the atmosphere down here next to the earth that we live and breathe in is warming. We know that from temperatures. We know that from the glaciers melting. We know that from permafrost melting. A lot of deniers, however, think, well, the sea level's not rising. We've just had some bad incidents like Superstorm Sandy, for example, 100-year storm. The problem is some of those are happening every 3 years. I brought with me one copy, which I will leave because it's very long, of an article in the New York Times on Saturday entitled "Flooding of Coast Caused by Global Warming Has Already Begun." And this very well-written article uses examples from Florida, either North or South Carolina, Georgia, of course, Louisiana, one after another, showing that the problem has begun and it's not going to end. And one of the solutions that they're trying in Miami is digging up roads that are already flooding, adding more dirt to make them higher, repaving them, and then putting in drains to put the water back in the bay. You've got to be kidding if you think this is any long-term solution. And the mayor of South Miami, who is a scientist, I'll close with this quotation, says, "We're putting enough heat into the ocean to send water over us. No question. Ultimately, we give up and we leave." That's how the story ends. I hope tonight you all make a decision to oppose this resolution and help prevent the story. Support the opposition to the Dominion New Markets proposal to make the story end differently. Thanks.
Thank you. Reggie Teasley, then Bill Padulka.
Hi, my name is Reggie Teasley. I'm a sociologist with an interest in environmental sociology, so big picture. I don't need to go into detail. The other speakers have been so articulate, and I share their views. I just want to say this is a positive resolution. I'm glad to see it. I think we have to oppose the pipeline, and I would just remind you, many people out west are, I have family out west, I grew up out there, are looking to New York and California for leadership. I'm holding up a bumper sticker which says the climate is changing faster than we are, and I would just say this is another opportunity for Ithaca, I'm from the city of Ithaca, to show leadership on these really important issues. Americans aren't being informed. We're running out of time. And only these sorts of moves to stop the building of a new unnecessary pipeline will allow people to begin to understand what they're facing. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank the other activists. And please, do the right thing.
Thank you. Bill Padulka, then Judy Pierpont.
So I live in the town of Caroline, and I also am here speaking in support of the resolution asking for a local hearing on the Dominion New Markets Program and to also expand it to include water as well as air impacts, and also to urge you to amend the resolution to oppose the New Markets expansion, primarily because I think it takes us in the wrong direction. Fundamentally, we are at a crossroads. Maybe 20 or 30 years ago, you could argue differently, but I think it's no longer wise or efficient to invest in large infrastructure projects that either depend on or deliver fossil fuels. The impacts of human-caused climate instability are just too obvious for making that kind of investment any longer. Locally, this obviously contradicts our local plans for greenhouse gas reduction. It certainly contradicts the New York State's plans for greenhouse gas reduction due to the expansion and addition of extra compressor stations that all have emissions either locally or in New York State. I'm also here because local governments are in many ways the last refuge of help for the common people. Witness the fact that you're going to have to arm wrestle DEC to get them to hold a local hearing here. FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is essentially a rubber stamp organization that has taken to heart too closely the customer's always right motto, only for them the customer is big oil and big gas. So we have to turn to you. And in that vein, I want to give some applause to the TCE legislature as well as the Tompkins County government offices for the many steps they have taken to address climate change and climate instability. It's always easy to say we're going to reduce greenhouse gases, but it looks like Tompkins County is actually taking the steps to make that happen. From the Tompkins County Energy Roadmap to the cooperation and coordination between Tompkins County Planning, and the Tompkins County Area Development Agency, and a willingness to incorporate energy efficiency in decisions on major projects to be undertaken. I believe that Tompkins County is walking the walk, not just talking the talk. I applaud you for that and wish that you keep it up by passing this resolution and also amending it to oppose the New Markets expansion project.
Thank you. Judy Pierpont, please. then Joanne Cipolla-Dennis after her.
I'm Judy Pierpont. I live in Dryden. And I also support the resolution before this body, the request to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation for a public hearing in Tompkins County regarding the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project and expansion of the Borger Compressor Station. I also urge that the resolution be amended to oppose the whole of the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project. It would cause huge amounts more toxic pollution hazards in New York. The addition of two compressor stations and the huge build-out of a third would pump massive amounts of new toxic pollutants into New York air and 200,000 tons of additional greenhouse gas emissions each year. When the additional gas carried by this pipeline, 112,000 dekatherms per day, that's 112 million cubic feet per day, the resulting additional carbon dioxide will be 200 million tons. Then add life cycle methane emissions. No regulatory body has taken into consideration the greenhouse gas effects of so much more gas. Not FERC, not the DEC, not the PSC. New York will not meet its emission reduction goals, but rather increase its emissions, exacerbating climate change. At the county level, we have a role in pushing the state to properly analyze the effects of air emissions on health and climate. We in Tompkins County are not only at risk of contributing to climate-changing air emissions, but also of explosions from possibly leaky pipes and welds. I should say that this pipeline runs through my property on Mount Pleasant, so I am right in the blast zone. I am formally registered as an intervener in FERC's proceeding, but have heard nothing from them regarding my objections. This 50-year-old pipe sits in a soggy area at the top of the divide of the headwaters of Fall Creek and Six Mile Creek watersheds. Old pipes are known to thin and rust. There could be leaks. There could be leaks now. ATVs and ski mobiles use the right-of-way for recreation, but a spark could catch any leak. This risk is magnified by pushing a greater volume of gas through the old pipes. This risk exists across Tompkins County and New York State. Newer pipes have exploded recently in Pennsylvania. Ultimately, we do not need to take and should not take these new risks. There is now excess gas in New York and New England. The Dominion gas is slated for export via a reversed Iroquois pipeline that will ship it up to Canada. We will gain nothing but risk and slow our move to safer, less polluting sources of energy. Thank you.
Thank you. Joanne Cipolla-Dennis, then Emily Adams.
Joanne Cipolla-Dennis from the town of Dryden. Good evening, legislature. Thank you for having public comment. Public comment includes the right to exercise free speech used to express our many feelings about the state of our country and how we are all affected, which is differently. I ask for a hearing on the New Market Project, and I ask you to amend the resolution to fully oppose new gas infrastructure via the New Market Project and start there. And thank you to Walter Hang for his detailed work and for the other speakers coming out tonight. Some of you may have noticed that I went down on one knee while you recited the Pledge of Allegiance. I cannot say that pledge in good conscience, and I haven't been able to say that in decades. I stand with in solidarity with Megan Rapoport and Mr. Kaepernick, who I also support, because we are affected differently by the words of that flag and that pledge. I haven't experienced the same freedoms that you have as a gay American. I cannot walk freely without fear. I expressed fear of the police that I pay for the last time I was in this room, and yet the press did not pick that up, and none of you contacted me about that. So I feel very differently about that pledge. I also served 10 years with my partner under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, one of the most heinous things that this country has ever done to a human being, to silence them on who they were born to be. So those have repercussions that I still have to deal with as an American. And so I'm not going to be reciting that pledge until every black person can walk freely without the fear of being shot by somebody they pay, or they're playing while they're in a park, or they're walking home with Skittles, or they are me and my wife celebrating our anniversary at a local place. Thank you to those who are supporting a new awakening as to what freedom is and who, what it is to all of us, rather than just a few people who seem to always be in charge. Thanks to those who came out yesterday to support the Standing Rock protests that are protectors of water for all of us. And to see Native Americans treated like that is a repeat of history, and I am appalled by everyone who was involved with that. I'm wondering why they're not in jail by now. And I'd like the President of the United States to actually answer that question. I don't know how new gas infrastructure could actually be perceived or approved as something for the good of the public, considering climate change. I'd like FERC to actually answer that question. Tomorrow night at Borg Warner Room from 6 to 8, there will be the first meeting of the gay community, trans community, and our allies from 6 to 8. This is a result of the Ithaca is Love Festival that took place after the shootings in Orlando. And anyone who is willing to come and talk about the solutions that we have and investing in that is very lucrative. And to fill our needs at the same time would be wonderful. So thank you very much. I'm sorry I went over my time.
Thank you. Emily Adams, then Pam McAsey.
Hello. I am Emily Adams from the town of Caroline. And like the others, I want to speak in support of the resolution for the hearing and with the amendment to oppose the whole project. Right? Have I got that all? Thank you. I refer to Walter, who's like one of my gurus, and I don't want to add anything to the science and screw it up. So what those people all said was great, and I'm totally behind them. So I wanted to add at least something personal since I'm here standing, and so I thought I would share a little bit. I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders at the Democratic Convention, and one of the mornings we had a breakfast, and Governor Cuomo came along with Bernie Sanders and stood to speak to the whole New York delegation. And it really struck me that he spoke very positively. I was impressed by what he said. He named all of the good things that New York is doing, talked about the bridge to the future, and it had a lot of good imagery and good progressive things that he named. And I was sitting in the back trying not to alienate my fellow Bernie supporters by going, oh, yeah, this is great. And then I noticed at one point he did not mention, while he was mentioning all these other things, he did not mention that he had opposed fracking. He totally, like, didn't bring any attention to that, which is one of the things I thought was something great that he's done for New York. So I think it's important for us to keep us progressives in New York, in Ithaca, to keep that, you know, at the forefront of his consciousness, at the forefront of what the government in New York is doing. And really, you know, be proud of what he's done, maybe under a little duress, but keep being proud of that and keep pushing that. And that's all.
Thank you. Pamela McAsey. Hi, I'm McAsey. Nice to see you back, former legislator.
Happy to be here. I didn't know if you would all remember me. It's been such a long time that I've been here.
How could we forget?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. So I'm here to speak to the resolution, too. And I was reminded that when I was on here for 8 years, that we were in the middle of the fracking issue. And Tompkins County has played such an incredibly important role in changing the atmosphere in New York State in terms of environmental issues, global warming. We have this amazing planning department and an amazing legislature that really was in lockstep moving forward on this. And the fracking issue, I felt, was the culmination of a lot of that so far, and that we were at the front of the line, that Tompkins County Legislature and Martha Robertson was the chair. We stood up and we demanded answers. We demanded information. We wanted to know what the implications of this was. And we, this was like a David and Goliath story. I mean, it was an incredible story that we were able to get fracking, and it was not banned because there's no legislation. I think what Emily is saying makes me nervous because, of course, that could change very quickly. But what it felt to me is that we had moved New York State, visibly moved New York State towards a more environmentally responsible, a future for our state that didn't include the destruction and deterioration of our amazing environment. So I'm concerned about this because it feels as if there isn't that focus and there isn't that intensity here, because this is part of the same battle. This is the part of the same thing. This is an unrelenting effort by a very large, powerful industry to get its way in New York State. And vigilance is what we need, and a very clear stance about where we stand. So I strongly urge you to amend that resolution, and I think someone has some language to that effect that would help, that would move the county in favor of banning this, because we want that. We do not want this industry in our state. And we want to spend our time and our money and our energy using renewable energy and developing the infrastructure for that, not for something that is passé and is not part of our future. So, folks, I hope that you will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Matthew Ryan, then Raymond Stifel.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to talk tonight. Pretty much everything's been said, and I was amazed how a lot of speakers end right on the three-minute mark with a perfect ending. Just sounds like Walter was practicing a little bit to make it 3 minutes exactly. But I come from Binghamton. I was the former mayor there for 8 years, the sacrifice zone, so to speak. And I can tell you that if we tried to go before the Broome County Legislature, we probably wouldn't make it out alive. I'm very proud to be up here living in Brooktondale now, and along with people who really have taken very strong stand all through this fight. And we urge you tonight to continue to take that stand, not only to require public hearings, which is obvious that it should happen. We shouldn't have any kind of project with such impact like this not have a public hearing. And then hopefully to amend the legislation resolution to actually oppose the project altogether. As Pam said, this industry plays a long game. And they will continue to do the little things that eventually they hope that Governor Cuomo will be gone. And let's make no mistake about it. The reason why Governor Cuomo doesn't bring up the ban very often, except in very exclusive circles that he knows he'll get applause, is because he didn't want to ban it. He wanted to pass it. And we have so many opportunities first of all, we do have plenty of capacity for the next 10 years, and we have so many opportunities to really act in a way that will allow us to need less capacity. And we should not be building any infrastructure that costs so much money, proposes so many problems. You think about the over 120 spills that have occurred and explosions and all sorts of things. And they don't want you to talk, if you follow this, they don't really want to talk about water pollution. They only think air pollution is the only possible problem. We know that's not true. So we thank everybody for listening carefully. We hope that you'll continue to support a progressive agenda that the second floor is listening to, that people all across the country are listening to, and we should not fade away, because if we do, we will all of a sudden wake up one day and face a very different reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Raymond Stifel. Then Mark Whitmer.
I'll lean over a little bit here. Good evening. Raymond Stifel. I live in Ithaca. And I want to thank you all for your service to our community and for this opportunity to speak. I'll preface my remarks by just saying that I do support a request to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation for a public hearing in Tompkins County regarding the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project and expansion of the Borger Compressor Station. So I do strongly support that request for a hearing. And also, I urge that the resolution be amended to oppose the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project because it would cause additional toxic pollution hazards across New York State and help perpetuate our state's addiction to polluting fossil fuels. On the way down this afternoon, I was listening to the news about what happened, I believe it was on a few days ago, in Standing Rock, North Dakota, where the energy industry attacked peaceful protesters trying to protect their native lands in the Standing Rock Sioux area. They had attack dogs that were unleashed. They used pepper spray that was used on the protesters. This is the industry that we would be supporting if we allow them to come in and expand the pipeline and all that that represents. So please keep that in mind. This is a dangerous time in our history. People are being attacked. People are dying for the expansion or the resistance to the expansion of the, I believe, unnecessary energy industries attempts to just make more money at our expense. I live in a house that generates more energy than I use. I sell it back to NYSEG. It is possible in New York State, in Ithaca, to generate energy using solar or wind or geothermal. And I've proven it. I live in a house that I actually sell the excess power back to NYSEG. We can do this. And by perpetuating the oil industry and allowing them to continue their policies, we are just perpetuating that very dangerous situation. So I really hope you folks take it to heart. I just returned from a several-week visit to Alaska. I'm a little bit still in some state of what happens when you spend time in the wilderness. So I hope I'm making sense. But I know that I know what it feels like. But most of us lose that feeling of what it's like to live with nature and just in response to nature. And extracting fossil fuels goes way against that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Tiefel. Mark Whitmer and then Camille Doucette.
Hi. Excuse me. Mark Whitmer, Town of Caroline. I want to thank you for this resolution. I support it, and I encourage the expansion to oppose the project. This is a huge investment, or would be a huge investment in our energy future, and we want to make sure that that's going to be a future that we want to live in. The previous speakers have all spoken so well about how Tompkins County and the legislatures has done such a great job of leading us in the ban on fracking, the opposition and education about fracking, and planning and a vision for a new energy future. So I support expanding this resolution to include a hearing in Tompkins County that includes air and water and perhaps the earth as we know it. So thank you very much.
Camille Doucette and Craig Higgins.
Hello, My name's Craig Higgins in the township of Dryden.
I think we had Camille Doucette first.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I am also very touched by all the different voices we have just heard, very eloquent, talking about many different specifics. And I just want to add that we are ourselves here experiencing drought, long-term drought. We are experiencing in our own way a stressful earth. We are hearing about refugees coming from left and right from all sorts of difficult environmental condition and also of war, but environmental conditions are driving a lot of what's happening around our earth right now. I would like to recommend that we strengthen this resolution to kill the pipelines. Any way we can give a message, a strong message, that this has to end. And I'm part of a group that helped 4 or 5 years ago to go solar locally. It was very successful. It has strengthened our own local companies. It is possible. It is happening. And we should do all we can to go in the direction of renewables so that our children and our grandchildren can walk this earth. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Higgins.
Could you let us know where you live, Camille?
Then be New York.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before Mr. Higgins starts, I have after him Jackie Lopez, I guess. And if anyone else wants to speak, we need a blue card, so please pass it up. Go ahead, Mr. Higgins.
Thank you. My name is Craig Higgins. I live in the town of Dryden. I actually live right next to the Borger compression station. And I support the resolution and also the strengthening of it to oppose the pipeline. My family and everybody else that lives around there relies on well water. We have a large community that will be impacted greatly by the expansion of the Borger station. And I encourage the legislature to adopt the resolution and the strengthening with opposition to the New Market pipeline. Thank you.
Thank you. Jackie Lopez, please. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes. Jackie Lopez. I live a stone's throw from the pipeline, and I am in support of the resolution, and I'm opposed
please
to
talk into the microphone.
Any expansion of the pipeline, and in support of everything else that people have been saying here. What I'd like to point out is my understanding is that you are elected officials, and all the voices that I've heard tonight have been saying pretty consistent. I'm not sure if there are many people in our community that are in support of supporting the pipeline. I guess maybe the people who are outside the community, maybe even outside of New York State. So I'd like you to take that into consideration with your decision making. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all the blue cards I have tonight. Are there any municipal officials out there? I'm not seeing any, unless I missed them. Do we want to move up that resolution? I'm sorry?
Whitmore is a supervisor.
Oh, yes. Do you want to speak, Mr. Whitmore, about Caroline?
You want to hear about Caroline?
We'd be pleased if you'd like to take a couple of minutes and talk to us about it. We have privilege of the floor for municipal officials
okay.
at every meeting.
Okay. Do I get an extended period of time?
A reasonable amount of time.
So what's going on in Caroline? We are the biggest thing on our plate right now is we've been working to try to facilitate broadband expansion in the town. And as you know, the state is now very gung-ho about this. There's a lot of money available through the broadband planning office. We, as a town, put out a request for proposals last month and got a couple proposals. And So we're working with one of those now and hope to see something come of that. So that's a big deal. What else is going on in Caroline? We are, that's the biggest one. I guess right now, as the town supervisor, getting ready for budget season, and so putting that together with a very low tax cap, and we'll be moving ahead with that in the next couple months. And I don't know. That's about it for Caroline. I can't think of any other, hot items or really big items.
Well, we appreciate hearing about Caroline. It's an important town. Are there questions?
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. I was going to ask the group, do we want to go to privilege of the floor for legislatures, or would you rather have me move up the resolution that so many people came and spoke about? All right, let's move that up. Let's go to Martha Robertson, who's chair of the Planning and Environmental Quality Committee, Development and Economic Development and Environmental Quality Committee. Whatever we've ended up naming
that. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality.
There we go.
PDEQ. Thanks, Mike. So Resolution N, request to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation for a public hearing in Tompkins County regarding the Dominion New Market Pipeline Project and expansion of the Borger Compressor Station. I so move.
Seconded by Carol Chalk. Discussion. Julie Kiefer.
I want to thank the authors of the resolution. It's very well worded. And I want to explain why I do not support adding a resolve to this resolution that says the county is opposed to the pipeline, because that contradicts our request for a public hearing. DEC would certainly not schedule a public hearing when we've already told them where we stand. And I think requesting a public hearing is exactly what we should be doing, and it is what DEC should be holding in this location. It does not mean that individual legislators cannot, as individuals, comment by the deadline this month. I'm certainly going to do that, and I know where I stand, but I don't think we should change the resolution in that manner. The other additions to the resolution sound good to me, and I will let Carol speak about them.
We have Martha next.
Thanks, Mike. I'm glad that this was brought to our committee. I should know, this was the Environmental Management Council. Brian Eden helped us to put this together, right? Yeah, okay. Yes, no. I'm sorry, I don't have
it. They've educated the
okay.
position.
It's kind of odd in a way that this pipeline has been kind of under the radar in Tompkins County, and I'm glad that we're really talking about it now. It's not too late. It's kind of late, but not too late. I think that it really is striking to think about the pipeline extensions that are being proposed and built in some cases, but in many cases opposed and stopped across New York. I think there's a good amount of that supply that's going to be intended for New England. In my things that I've heard about that are, as I think it was Walter said, that this is intended to or advertised as being for New Yorkers, but at the end of the day is really going to connect to pipelines that go into Massachusetts and New England. I think we have seen in our own greenhouse gas inventory that the Planning Department did and reported on at our last meeting that we have we have to take extremely seriously the new science about methane emissions, about fugitive emissions, measured recently to be much higher than the EPA earlier estimated, and that tragically damaging effects of methane on the 20-year time scale, when you compare it to carbon dioxide, and it's when people compare, usually they've historically been comparing carbon dioxide and methane emissions on a 100-year time scale. We don't have 100 years. We have no time at all. So the 20 years is kind of the most we should even be looking at. And when you look at a 20-year time scale, methane is much more damaging, at least 86% more damaging than carbon dioxide over that time period. It dissipates more quickly than CO2. That is correct. But the damage will be done and will exacerbate the things that we're already experiencing in real time. So I support this. I'm glad that we're talking about this. I absolutely think that we need a public hearing in Tompkins County, and the deadline should be extended if they need to extend it. And I will let Carol talk about a couple of additions that she has put together, but I'm happy to entertain those as well.
Carol, then Jim, then Mike Sigler.
So thank you. Thank you to everybody who came and spoke. You were all, each and every one of you was quite eloquent and added to our the amount of information that we have on this. To my colleagues, I just want you to know I did not organize that. I sent out an announcement that we were doing this to a few of the same people that we tend to hear from frequently about energy issues, but I don't know most of these folks, so it's really incredible to have people come and speak to us that we didn't already know, and to hear how many of our residents feel, and it makes a big difference. I also wanted to just remind people that the difference between this and what New York State did related to fracking is that this is an interstate pipeline. So when we learned about this 2 years ago, the proposal for this project, it was with the knowledge that New York State didn't have the opportunity to make a decision at that point. What's new is that now it is coming to New York State for their final approval of certain types of things related to this project. It was FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, that had the primary responsibility, and that's a misnomer because they are not a federal agency. They are they're appointed to make these kinds of decisions, but they are known for being a pretty much a rubber stamp agency for the industry. And when I first learned about this and brought it to your attention, if you'll recall, they had not even sent out the required announcements to the residents along the route of the pipeline that their own procedures require them to do, including Tompkins County, because some of that pipeline runs along our roadways and across some of our property. So we weighed in by letter, as we talked about it here, and I weighed in on our behalf, as discussed with you, asking them to make sure to hold hearings, asking them to hold a hearing here, and to notify, as they were required to do, all of the property owners along the way and within a certain set of feet related to the pipeline and to any place that a compressor station was required. And they did a little more of it, but not much. So now it's come to New York State to issue the final air quality permit to enable them to move forward. And I'm not sure if New York State has other permits that they have to issue. But that is why I think at the time our sense of it as a body here was that Tompkins County, one county in upstate New York, short of being part of a national effort or a regional effort, wherever the pipeline was going to be, was just going to be a drop in the bucket related to FERC, and we had short time then as well, and so we didn't weigh in at the time. But we have the opportunity now, and I thank the committee for having spent the time on this to get it where it is now. Given the input that we've heard, I had some possible additions, two that are on your desks, and I'm not sure yet about the third. But let me read them, and I'd rather than just accept them as friendly, I think we ought to vote on them.
Carol, so you're moving an amendment?
So I'm going to move an amendment that still falls far short of what every single speaker here tonight asked us to do, which is actually weigh in.
Can you state the amendment?
As to a stance. But it is, so one, the First Amendment is resolved. We'd be adding it after line 29, after resolved further that the DEC expand the scope of the comments it accepts to both air and water quality, I'd like to add a third resolve there that says, resolved further that the Tompkins County Legislature requests a study of the capacity of the pipeline segments in our county to withstand the proposed increased volume and pressure prior to the issuance of any permit. So I'll move that one.
You're going to move them separately, then?
I'm going to move them separately.
Right. Is there a second? Seconded by Dan Klein. Discussion on the amendment. Ready to vote on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand.
Can I have a quick clarification?
Sure.
So you're basing this on what you gave us, right?
Yeah, I just read A there.
Okay. You moved A.
I just A at this point.
Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous.
Okay.
Carol?
So that one was to speak to, making sure that we would like to see further study before they issue permits. Hopefully, we'd have a chance to respond about the results of the study if that happened. But I didn't put that in there. And then B, I'm going to read what's on there and add a little bit of a clause to bring it back to Tompkins County. That isn't on your written paper, but B, resolved further that the Tompkins County Legislature calls on the DEC to conduct a study of increased greenhouse gas emissions along the length of the proposed pipeline in New York State, including carbon equivalents from methane and utilizing recent scientific evidence regarding methane leakage. And I'm going to add, as has been done in the 2016 Tompkins County Greenhouse Gas Emissions Inventory. So we did that here. We're not asking the DEC to do anything that we didn't manage to do in our county.
Seconded by Martha. Discussion, Mike Sigler.
I think it's fine. I would remove the word increased, just because if you're doing a study, you're already making an assumption.
Right. Study of greenhouse gas emissions along the length of the... Yes, that would be...
Is that friendly?
That would be fine.
Okay. Someone else had their hand up, I think. Jim?
A question I would ask, if you ask them to do a study, and what if the study comes out that it doesn't agree with what you're looking for it to... You're hoping for it to be. So we're assuming that whatever they do... Well, that it's a negative, a pipeline. You know, that's the first assumption. And if they do a study, they'll find that out. But what if that's not true?
Well,
are we all positive that it is true, though, right?
Well,
Carol respond.
I would address it with a third amendment, but I don't know that there's a... Or Anna will address it with a third amendment, that of what we'd like to see happen if their study is not done to our satisfaction. But we deal with it at that point. The first thing is to gather information. It's the way we've operated in the past. It's the way we operated with fracking. We gathered information, and then we made our conclusion. And we gave the public, including, and we heard from many scientists, had the opportunity to weigh in on whether they thought those studies were accurate. We asked them to do the socioeconomic study. They came back to us and said, what questions would you like to ask in that socioeconomic study? So we had the opportunity to help even frame the questions. We were a leader, and when the answers didn't come out right, our residents and we were able to weigh in at that point. So I've heard from my colleagues that you'd like to take this one step at a time, the hearing, and then get to weigh in.
On the amendment, Martha?
That's why I think the adding the clause about the Tompkins County greenhouse gas emissions inventory, because we heard a long report from Ed and Megan at the, or no, it was just Ed that day at the planning committee about our inventory and how that inventory changes the reality of what's going on when you really take honest account of new science on methane emissions and the damaging effects of methane. So by adding this line about our inventory, first off, let me say, at the end of the planning committee meeting, reporting on the inventory, we kind of said, look, you've got to take this on the road. I mean, we really have to take this to Albany and explain what we're looking at and why we reanalyzed. I mean, there's a huge amount of work the planning staff did to reanalyze top to bottom the emissions in Tompkins County. So we want to reference that this is the first way of referencing that emissions inventory. And I think it'll, if they actually looked at that report, I think it would open up their eyes. I mean, they probably would argue, but let's have that argument.
On the amendment, Peter Stein.
I have a point of information to ask. I'm a little bit not sure I have this straight, but I think that we're now going to vote on two amendments together. Is that correct?
No, we've already voted on the first.
First
what?
Passed.
Oh, we already passed
the
first.
Part
so
of the
this
major,
is,
or the main
so
resolution.
The second is, this is just
it's
the second,
second paragraph with Carol's addition.
Okay,
at the
thank
end.
You very much.
All right, Anna Kellis.
So I have an additional amendment to propose and to talk
moving
about.
To amend the
let
amendment?
Me just finish this statement. No, I'm just saying I'm not going to bring that up now. I just want to make that clear, and I wanted to just refer to the current amendment that we're talking about. I don't think that there's anything in the language of the amendment, of the resolution with the amendments, both A and B right now, that says one way, particularly with Mike Sigler's addition, that says leaning one way or another what we expect to see or what we want to see in any studies. So I think I'm speaking particularly to this comment. What I appreciate about the way that is written is that it's demanding that we do proper due diligence. I don't think that it's saying that we want them to find anything in particular, and I think that that's really important because I think the point that we're making is that we feel that they haven't done due diligence. And I don't think it's a leading statement the way that it's written.
On Carol, are we ready to vote? On Carol's amendment, does anyone need that restated?
Yes.
You do? All right. Can you read the resolution with the addition, please?
Resolve further that the Tompkins County Legislature calls on the DEC to conduct a study of greenhouse gas emissions along the length of the proposed pipeline in New York State, including carbon equivalents from methane and utilizing recent scientific evidence regarding methane leakage, as has been done in the 2016 Tompkins County Greenhouse Gas Emissions Inventory.
Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Now we're back on the main resolution as with the two amendments. And I'm going back to Jim Dennis, then Mike Sigler, then Anna Kellis, who wish to speak.
Thank you, Michael. I was going to say something similar to what Dooley said before she said it. Time I've been here, I've looked at Dooley Kiefer as kind of the dean of environmental issues on the Tompkins County Legislature. We haven't always agreed, but in this one, I agree. I think you're biting off more than you really want to bite off. I think you need to have a public hearing and let the public and really work hard to get the public hearing here in Tompkins County. To then add the second part of the resolution really doesn't work for me. I think the people have said, Pam and others have said, the work that the county ledge has done over the past, on fracking was because there were definite things that we were saying, and we said it over and over and over. And my sense is, from sending a ton of resolutions to New York State, if they will reply to us, I think the simpler, the better. And, you know, the question is, we would like you to have a public hearing on this issue, and then I'm sure the room would be filled with people who would support the second part that's trying to be put on the resolution. I think it's much more effective to work to get the public hearing here.
Mike Sigler.
So I'm going to actually vote for this. I don't see anything really objectionable in it. I think it's a reasonable proposal. I think Carol's things were proposed. You know, they're reasonable. I have to take issue with some of the stuff that was said, just because I feel like this politicization is not healthy. You know, someone was saying, I'm just going to go through this pretty quickly. Some people were saying, well, this isn't going to service New York State. This is going to service, you know, Boston. Well, yeah. Why is that a bad thing? There are things I vote for on the county legislature, like the Pine Street road rebuilding. Does that benefit the people of Lansing? Well, no, not presumably, but it really helps the people that are living right there. And there's a lot of things you do in life that are like that. So I just don't like that argument. I hear the argument, well, this may eventually get shipped overseas. Well, yeah. I mean, people overseas use natural gas as well. I don't think that they should be beholden to Russia for that natural gas. So this is an option. So I understand where you're coming from. I just don't agree with where you're coming from. You know, we talk a lot about natural gas. Pam brought up that this is a really big industry. Well, yeah, it's a really big industry because everybody uses it. You know, if nobody used natural gas, it would be a very tiny industry and nobody would really care. So, yes, it's a very large industry. I need to point out that, you know, these pipelines aren't designed to leak. They don't, you know, the pipe fitters down here at the Union Hall, they don't put together their pipes and say, hey, we're going to just do a shoddy job on this so that we leak natural gas all over the place. They don't do it with water. They don't do it with, you know, other resources. The fact of the matter is, New York City, for example, has very old natural gas infrastructure. They are spending in the neighborhood of, what, $150 million a year to redo their entire natural gas infrastructure in New York City. The pipe fitters are pretty happy about that, as well should you be, because New York City is not getting off natural gas anytime today. It was also said that, you know, this is not something that a lot of people want to spend their money on. Actually, a lot of people do want to spend their money on this, because if they did, they would do like I did and go put natural, you know, they'd go put solar panels on their homes. And yet a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't put up windmills in their backyards. A lot of people do not put in, you know, heat pumps at their houses because it's really expensive. And they would rather send their kids to college and put food on the table and a number of other things that, you know, a lot of people apparently don't think take precedence over this other issue. So my other large concern here that came up a number of times is, I guess, and I see this nationally too, and this actually comes from the Republicans a lot, and it comes from the Democrats a lot, and it's this loss of faith in our institutions. This idea that the DEC is just a bunch of Keystone cops running around and they don't know what they're doing and we know better than they do. And FERC, they're a bunch of appointed people who, again, they're somehow paid their way into those jobs and they don't know what they're doing either. And I got to tell you, I'm at a loss to really believe, like, who do I believe now? If you're telling me that all these government agencies, the EPA, they don't know what they're doing either. Well, geez, I don't know. I mean, who do you want me to believe? I mean, these guys, this is what they do. I mean, I can't believe that the people that are in the EPA have any less concern about the environment than our planning department here in Tompkins County. I just, that's a big stretch for me. And I just haven't lost that much faith in our government, although, you know, sometimes, that I can just make that leap. So I think that's it. You know, I just want to always bring up, because I always bring this up at the end, that I see two towns or three towns that are really pushing this, that we don't want natural gas pipelines. My suggestion to them is to wipe out natural gas from their building codes so that any new building that will be built in their towns cannot use natural gas. That is well within their purview to do, and yet they don't do it, and I don't know why. So there you go. If you don't want new natural gas in your towns, ban it from any new buildings. And anybody who wants to put in a natural gas boiler in their home, you should tell them no. They need to put in a heat pump. I don't think that would be a popular position, but that would be an avenue for you to travel. Thank you.
Anna, Peter, Martha.
A bunch of things. I think that there are some things that we are doing, like District 2030 heading in that direction, and I certainly hope that we do continue to support new buildings being net zero or 80% reduction and working their way to net zero. So hopefully that will be addressed. Another comment just to refer to directly, it's a big industry because we all use it. I think that that's true, and therefore it's up to the government to create a culture and policies and guidelines to address what we are facing, the reality that we're facing of climate change, and acknowledge that it's not going to be fun and it's not going to be easy, and we have to do it anyway. So, yeah, it's a big industry, and we allow it to continue to be a big industry as a government, and we do support it. And so it does need to start somewhere. And it's uncomfortable for all of us because it's a controversial issue. And, again, we should do it anyway. One of the things that I was hearing among the public comment period or during the public comment period was the desire to have an amendment to the resolution to directly oppose any expansion of the pipeline. So when I first thought about this, I thought, if we are in one resolution asking for them to come hear us out before they deliberate, and we're simultaneously telling them that we've already made up our minds, logistically speaking, it might not encourage them to actually follow through. And what we want is for them to come so that we can have the greatest influence, because we all know that no letter or phone call will ever be as powerful as saying something in person. But we're on a time crunch. So there are steps that we would love to see take place. We would love to have a hearing. Then we would love to have a comment period that allows us to make comments on air and water. And then we would like to, based on some of the research that's done, make a deliberation and our own opinions about what we feel about it and present that. That would be ideal. We don't have that opportunity. So what we're discussing tonight is whether or not we are including multiple steps of this in the same resolution or not. We are now including, based on the resolutions that have passed, we are requesting that we have a hearing. We're requesting that the comment period be expanded to allow for that hearing, and that the comment period be expanded so that we can talk about water and air quality. We are asking them to follow up with a study or to include a study before they deliberate. The one thing that we haven't discussed so far is whether or not we are going to state in our resolution that we already have a set decision on our part. I actually believe that we would be doing ourselves a disservice by decreasing the likelihood of them coming here by saying we've already made up our minds. But I think that there might be a compromise. There may be a resolve that we could put in this that would state that we will state an opinion here and now if certain steps are not taken to protect our environment given the information that we currently have. So I'd like to propose an amendment to what we currently have.
State your amendment.
And this is to add that third piece into the same resolution, given, and note that I'm doing this because of our lack of time. Be it further resolved that unless New York State holds additional hearings, including one in Tompkins County, investigates air and water quality impacts, the ability of 50-year-old pipes and welds to withstand additional volume and pressure, and ensure that there will be no additional GHG emissions, greenhouse gas emissions from this project, the Tompkins County Legislature is opposed to New York State issuing any air, water, or other state-approved approvements at this time.
Is there a second for the amendment? Carol Chalk. Discussion on the amendment. Carol?
So I appreciate that, and I think that it goes a long way towards making it clear that our aim is to get the hearing and these additional studies before a decision is made. So I think it does, to me, it travels that fine line. I do have some concerns about, you know, it seemed like we had fairly unanimous sentiment around the table here for what we had just before that. Is there a procedural way, Kathy, that we could separate that into a separate resolution?
I think your question is to the chair.
The
question is, this is an amendment that's been moved and seconded by yourself.
Yep.
And we need to either move forward on the amendment or to have the amendment withdrawn. If you're asking for something separate, I think you would need a separate resolution to be added to the agenda.
So could I mean, I'm asking if I could move to separate.
To separate and
what she just said into a separate resolution.
I'll defer to Jonathan, but I don't think in this case you can move to separate. Jonathan?
Well, it can't possibly because it hasn't...
Sorry, Peter. I've asked our county attorney, who's our parliamentarian.
I don't believe you can.
Jonathan, use the microphone, please.
Sure. No, I don't believe you can. You have an amendment on the table. I think you have to deal with the amendment as it is.
Okay. And if we pass this amendment and then somebody moved to separate, then could it be separated?
Yes.
Ask our attorney.
You mean separate out the amendment as a separate resolution?
Yes, to make the now one resolution into two resolutions.
You could do that. I mean, you could move to separate, but I think it would be awkward in terms of its wording, you know, because you just have that one piece sort of standing on its own. So I think you could do that legally. I think it would read kind of awkwardly.
But you could do it.
Legally, yeah.
Okay. And another alternative would be to pass, to have enough of our colleagues agree to add a resolution to our agenda to consider that piece separately. But how many of us would have to agree to add it in order to do that?
It would take 10 votes.
That would take 10 votes.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm in favor of adding that, but I have some mixed feelings because I'd like to hear from our colleagues as to whether that'll...
Yes, we're moving ahead. On the amendment as proposed by Anna, who'd like to speak? Anna, then Jim, then Martha.
I wanted to point out the intention of this is... not to predispose, which I think that the language does not predispose us saying that we have a predetermined opinion. What it is saying is, in my mind, it is putting pressure on them to do their due diligence. What it's saying is, if we don't have this due diligence, if we don't have these steps in place, we are forced to say that we cannot support this at this time, and we would request that you don't. It is a clear distinction between setting a predisposed opinion about this.
Point of information?
Yes.
Could we have the proposed amendment read again?
Yeah. Thank you, Rich.
Be it further resolved that unless New York State holds additional hearings, including one in Tompkins County, and it could be relevant hearings or just a hearing in Tompkins County, whatever people want, investigates air and water quality impacts, the ability of 50-year-old pipes and welds to withstand additional volume and pressure, and ensures that there will be no additional greenhouse gas emissions from this project, the Tompkins County Legislature is opposed to New York State issuing any air, water, or other stated approval at this time.
Okay. I've got Jim Dennis next.
I will vote no on this. I will support the resolution with the two additions that were made earlier.
Martha Robertson. On the amendment.
Right. I think it's a good try, but I think it will nevertheless have the effect of this whole thing being dismissed as just kind of a show, and not in fact we're just opposed, and nothing any study finds would change our mind. So I'm sure if they really cared, watch this video and know everything that we're thinking. This is not like a game or something. So, but I guess I'm not comfortable with this part.
Peter, did you want to speak on the amendment?
Not quite sure where we are. Which amendment?
This is the third amendment. As two of them have been accepted by the legislature. A third one has now been proposed by Anna Kellis. Do you want to speak on her amendment?
What Martha said is sweet for me. Okay.
All right. Anyone else on the amendment? Will?
I want to thank Anna for coming up with this. I think you really tried to struggle up on very short notice to come up wording that addressed the conflict that many of us are feeling. And I certainly want to thank all the public who came out and connected this issue to the much, much larger issue that we have got to be grappling with. But I think what we are ultimately dealing with is a tactical question. We want that hearing to happen. I'm actually going to vote for this amendment. I suspect it will be voted down, and then I will be happy to vote for the original resolution.
All right. Are ready to vote on this third amendment? All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The amendment fails. We're back on the full resolution, and it's Peter Stein's turn, then Martha Robertson.
Thank you. I just want to give you some observations I have. The question is, what do you think is going to happen when we pass this resolution? You honestly think that someone is going to sit down and say, this is what Tompkins County wants, let's see if we can figure it out in such a way? It's not going to happen. That's not the way it works in Albany. I mean, it'll count as one on anything else. But I think, as far as I'm concerned, some of the resolutions, some of the things that have been added to the original resolution weaken it considerably. I think I'm saying the same thing that you said, okay? That the one that I didn't like was the one that was the tail end of what Carol said, I think. I may have them mixed up a little bit, telling them that they must take what the Tompkins County said as the last scientific notion to how much leakage there is in methane. And I think that's insulting to say that to someone. If you're asking someone to do a study, you can't at the same time tell them how they're to do the study. It doesn't make any sense.
Point of information.
I beg your pardon. I'm speaking.
I'll get you after that, Carol.
I think that if you want to speak to them in the way that has respect for the fact that somebody there is going to make a study and that person has some scientific background to make that study, you can ask for the study. That's legitimate. But to tell them what they ought to do for the answer is not legitimate. And I hope I don't have to vote against it because of that. But the way it reads at the moment, that's how I feel about it.
Carol, information.
Just a point of information. What I added to the end of what you have on your desk has in no way told them what their conclusions had to be.
Right.
It
when
was
you,
just
when you
saying that we,
you're
did our,
a question.
That we did our own study.
A point of information is a question.
Okay. Was that a point of clarification?
Well, then you should wish to speak and be recognized.
I'm sorry. Okay. I will raise my hand then.
Right. It's Martha next, then I'll go to you, Carol.
I would point out, Peter, that you already voted yes on that. So I don't know, but and I agree that it doesn't tell them what to do. It only shows an example of that we've asked something to be done that we've already done, and this is. So anyway, but you voted yes on it. That's on. I wanted to address a couple things that Mike said. And but the thing about Boston and gas going to Boston or overseas, it goes to the issue of how this has been politically advertised. This is for New Yorkers, and I think that will quickly be shown to not be true. And, you know, no person, no state is an island. We're all part of this huge energy system, I understand. And what we're doing here is just asking that, okay, the fracking ban was one little piece. We're just one state. So this is just the logical conclusion. If we don't think fracking was good for New York, this is to say we don't have our heads in the sand about the use of gas, because it's all frack gas now. It wasn't when these buildings were built with gas. It wasn't fracked gas. So which also goes to this argument, well, if you don't like gas, don't use gas. Don't build new buildings with gas. You don't have to. The Dryden Town Hall was built like 6 years ago with geothermal. Caroline Town Hall, is it geothermal and solar? I know it's got solar panels. So, I mean, we've learned, you know, there's a lot of stuff we did before we knew better. So this is, we should know better now. And so that argument that, oh, you shouldn't live in a house with gas. Well, like, no, you shouldn't build new houses. And when you have the resources, you should figure out ways to reduce and to switch. But, you know, the first way to get out of a hole is to stop digging. That's the point. Let's learn from our mistakes. Let's take the new science and make more people aware of it and try to get policymakers at other levels to put a different lens on. That's what we're trying to do here.
Carol, I'll take your comment, and then let's proceed to a vote.
No, I just wanted to say I didn't do what he said. That's all. Other than that, I want to thank my colleagues for being willing to consider this and spend this amount of time on it. Some of us have been looking into the issues around this particular pipeline for 2 years now and feel that we have more information to make a determination where we stand than others.
Just remember what we're voting on is the main resolution as was proposed with the two amendments made by Carol. And the adjustment made by Mike Sigler. Are we ready to vote? We voted on it.
Yeah, we voted.
We voted it.
There were four
it
yeses.
Down.
It was voted down.
There was not enough votes. All right, so we're back on the main motion. We're ready to vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you. We've got a long meeting tonight. I don't have a particular report. I do have an appointment, and that is to the Workforce Development Board, John Lance, who is the vocational rehabilitation vocational rehabilitation representative.
Excuse me, Mike. You skipped over legislature privilege of the floor. Are you going to be returning to that?
Oh, darn. Okay. You're looking to speak on privilege of the floor?
As a matter of fact, it was, yes.
I'll just point out it's now 7 o'clock. We've spent a total of 90 minutes on that issue between privilege of the floor and the comments here in the debate. So let's kind of keep them short. Yes, Martha, go ahead.
Yeah, before anybody else leaves, I want to say that they could right now go to another meeting on another important topic.
Housing.
Housing. At 4 o'clock, we heard a report by Ken Danter, the county's consultant on housing, and he is right now, started at 6:30 at the BorgWarner Room of the library. So if anybody at home has been watching this riveting discussion, you could still get there. So the BorgWarner Room making a presentation on the county's needs assessment on housing in the county. And one other event tomorrow at OAR, Opportunities, Alternatives, and Resources of Tompkins County. I say that because I can never remember what the new name means, but OAR has an open house tomorrow because they are moving. Well, I guess they have moved. They have moved. So tomorrow, 3:30 to 5:30, and their new address is 910 West Martin Luther King West State Street. So, there's a little map on this invitation. It's near Pete's Grocery. So 3:30 tomorrow, open house at the new OAR. Thanks.
Will.
Martha, thank you for reminding us of that. You all should have gotten the card. I actually have been going as a liaison, and it's a very, very nice new facility. The main problem is parking, and there is off-street parking if you do not mind crossing a very, very busy road to get there. But, Mike, thank you for returning to legislative privilege of floor. I wanted to spend just a couple minutes talking about a subject that I don't think has come up here recently, and that is the subject of bats, and specifically bats in homes and rabid bats. As you may have read, about a week ago, there was a bat found on the sidewalk, a rabid bat about a block from here. That happened often. But I think last year there were about seven of bats that tested rabid in Tompkins County. About 90 people were treated for possible exposure. And the good news is that both the testing and the treatment is something that we as the county pay for. So money should not be the obstacle. If you have been bitten by a bat and you don't get treated, it is near 100% fatality. So, and by the time you have symptoms, you would, you know, essentially nothing to do about it. So it's critically important that you know if you have been bitten or even might have been bitten and do something. And again, our health department is poised to help you in that. I've become very aware of that because for past 5 or 6 years, we have regularly been getting several bats in our home every August. And frequently, I can almost say, okay, well, summer is almost ending because suddenly I have this creature flying around inside my house, frantically trying to get out. And if you've ever been in a room with a bat, it is initially quite the experience. It is scary. I spent a fair amount of time trying to understand why these might be getting into my house and what I could do. I've also captured many of them. I initially was capturing them, freezing them, which kills them, and then taking them up to the health department and having them tested for free, and I've never gotten a rabid bat. That's good. More recently, I've been trying to capture them and just getting them outside because they're wonderful for the environment. They're extraordinarily important. They gobble up a lot of insects, and the populations nationally are going down. So we don't really want to be killing the bats. We just don't want rabid bats, or any bats, but certainly rabid bats inside our house. How do they get in? Well, they may already be inside. And that's what I recently discovered is frequently they'll roost in a area such a cavity such as the attic, and they can get into the main living area. Frequently, it's the young bats, what they call the pups. They can get into a hole the size of a dime. And if you've ever seen a bat flying around, it looks like an eagle. It's just huge as it's in your room. But that has this amazing ability to contract into this tiny little space. And finding those spaces in an older house, plugging those holes is no small job. And I just want to mention, I finally decided that I was tired of having bats in our house. We hired a gentleman who specializes in this. He spent today hours on ladder and went through, I think, 12 caulk guns plugging these holes and then putting in a very specialized one-way trap. So I mention this because there are people in our community that do this. You don't want bats in your home. Hopefully he's gotten them out, and or we'll get them out, and my problem will be resolved. But I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking about bats. Thank you, Mike.
Just hope none of them are from Transylvania. Thank you, Will. That's an important comment that you made tonight. Rich John.
I wanted us to take just a minute to
to note the situation with Anthony Nazaire, the young man who was killed up at the Cornell campus, an Ithaca College student, and there is a grieving family in Brooklyn. You know, and a real tragedy that happened in our community. I know that there were witnesses here. There were, they say, between 1 and 200 people there, and they have film, and they. It just seems like it would be really good to get to the bottom of this for the benefit of those poor people. Thank you.
Anna.
Two things. One, many of us attended the Labor Day picnic yesterday that was put on by the Workers' Center, and it was once again a great success. I wanted to thank the Workers' Center for putting that on. I think a lot of people think that the story of large farm entities hiring illegal immigrants and not informing them of their rights, working tremendously long hours, is something that happens in other places. And one of the things that they showed us at that picnic during the talks is that it happens here as well. And I think that that is something we need to take to heart, and I think we need to address it in some way and educate and certainly support those who are not aware of their rights and make sure that they get the support they need. So it was a very inspiring picnic, and you know, I certainly myself will work to support them in their efforts. The other thing that I wanted to bring forward is that this weekend is the AIDS Ride. For anybody who doesn't know about it, all the funding goes to support STAP, which is the Southern Tier AIDS program that does tremendous work in the community on the drug epidemics that we're facing, support for people for mental health as well in that arena, as well as AIDS research and support for those with AIDS. So I encourage anyone who is inspired to fund someone who is biking, if they haven't already, get familiar with it. I am on that list, and you can fund me, except that with my now torn Achilles, I will no longer be biking it, but I am still fundraising. So there are many of us who are, and it's a really important cause. And if you know a biker and you don't have the ability to support them, moral support is also very welcome. So that's just my...
Lesa McGean-Claiborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rich, thank you for mentioning Anthony Nazaire. I wanted to take the time to just say thank you to you, Mr. Chair, for putting out that statement that you did in wake of that tragedy on behalf of all of us. It was really well received and at least expressed the sentiments I was feeling. So thank you for that. I know often we want to vet things before they get out in the newspaper when it's representing all our views. This time around, I think you were right on target in putting that statement out there. Our community is not one that takes lightly loss of lives like this. It appears on its surface to not be very, to be senseless, and all we can do is try to be as supportive as we can to the Cornell and Ithaca College community and to the families of everyone involved, the young man who was hurt, as well as Anthony's family, and hope that we don't have things like this happening again. I want to give my usual public service announcement that schools open tomorrow. Our little ones are returning to school, and so to all of you in the community, all you motorists, please take heed, please be careful. We don't want to hear of people running school buses with flashing lights, etc. Our children are very, very precious. So, and I do want to thank our law enforcement personnel, who I know will be out there ensuring that our children are safe. So just please be careful.
Jim Dennis.
Mike, did you say something earlier? I was late for the meeting about the Enfield group.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be on privilege of the floor, and I'll be saying something.
But okay. I just wanted to thank the Enfield Fire Department for all the work that they did at the Tompkins County picnic that was really well attended this year. And Loveland, you know, talked about this a few years ago, and this thing has grown. And I think it was a really great event for the employees and the county administrator, the commissioner personnel, both took an early bath. We had a dunking booth, and they went in several times, and I don't know who else did. Jonathan also, yes. But Jonathan goes well-dressed to the dunking booth. He had his visor on and his sunglasses. I don't know who does that. But at any rate, it was a great event. Personnel had a lot to do with it, and clearly the people from the Enfield Volunteer Fire Department cooked, served, were just nothing but gracious. So I appreciate that. And I think the employees do, and clearly the ledge does.
Carol.
Boy, after that, maybe I shouldn't go into what I was going to go into. But I just want to let people know about an event that's happening far away from us, but is of relevance to the work that we've done, including here tonight, in a very reasonable way, asking for a public hearing and more information to be out there before we make decisions about pipelines. I want to give a shout-out to the Standing Rock Lakota Sioux Native American tribe, and there's another tribe as well in the Dakotas, who are fighting or at least trying to get recognition of their rights related to the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is a pipeline of crude oil that is coming through in violation of long-standing treaties with the very large tribal populations in that area. Other Native American tribes from around the country have now come and joined the effort. Black leaders from around the country came out and joined. Many people have come. In bringing to the attention, trying to bring to the attention of the nation what was being done on their lands and that the threats that this is bringing, I mean, digging is happening in violation of these treaties, they were attacked over the weekend or just the end of last week by private security forces with attack dogs. Quite a number of people were injured. Finally, that's what made the mainstream press. They've been out there for weeks asking for the construction to stop and long enough for a judge to hear their case. And they were not able to get attention for this until finally yesterday, President Obama it told the Army Corps of Engineers that they needed to ask this company to stop and long enough for this to be heard in the courts. But it took people getting, I mean, literally, you can go out, the video went somewhat viral of what happened. You have to draw blood before you can get heard. I mean, somebody before asked why are people so cynical and distrusting of the decision-making process related to this industry, and that's the kind of reason. I mean, how many hundreds of people have been put their bodies on the line and have gotten arrested in Seneca Lake? I hope that we can be heard more easily than that here. So, and I trust that in New York State we will. Thank you.
I wanted to say a couple of things. Jim, I want to join in with you about complimenting the great job that was done for the employee picnic. First one that I've attended, first one we've had in many years, as I understand. It was so nice to be there and look around and see all the faces of more than 300 employees that came, and their spouses and their children, people who work for us every day in various buildings, and we don't see them. We know the good job they do, but we don't see them. And this was an opportunity to see them, to say thanks, to have a good time. There were games. There was great food. You mentioned the Enfield Fire Department. They did a great job. And I just hope this is something that we can continue in the future. And again, Leslin, thanks for the work in your committee and your suggestions for this. In town of Dryden, we got a couple of things coming up on Saturday. That will be the Ellis Hollow Fair, a wonderful tradition, and also the Freeville Harvest Festival, the same day, which is Saturday. Take in one, take in both. We'd like to have you come on out. And Leslin, thank you for the kind words about the resolution. I do want to say how awful we all felt over this tragedy on a day when it should have been a wonderful celebration for the new students coming into Cornell campus and Ithaca College campus. I want to thank Joe and Marcia, who helped with to get our press release out on a Sunday. And I want to say a special thanks to Paula Younger, because I know she was up on the campus trying to work with people. And Frank Krupa was out there trying to help get his department to offer assistance in any counseling way we could do. And I'm sure there were others. Our Sheriff's Department, I know, has been involved in the investigation. So we hope that justice is served in this awful situation. Anyone else? Dooley?
Well, I feel really sorry that I had to miss this wonderful picnic. Every year we trek up to Saratoga Springs for the races, and it's not fair that you scheduled the picnic so that I couldn't go to it. I wanted to add a bit more to what Carol was saying about the Dakota lands. Not only were the security people making use of attack dogs, who were trained in a manner that is called man bite, which is a necessary thing for them to know, because occasionally you have to use them that way. But they had no business using them on this peaceful demonstration gathering. What was also infuriating to listen to was the fact that, not that the Sierra Club is helping them, Earth Justice has a lawyer out there for them, but that Earth Justice was responding to a request from the courts, which said, we're giving you more time to demonstrate, to document that the lands are actually sacred burial grounds. And so the Sierra Club and hired an expert to go out and examine and document where graves were, where important tribal functions had been held. And they turned all that information into the court, at which time whatever the organization is called, Energy Partners, took all that information and over Labor Day weekend went out and bulldozed the entire site. They have destroyed all the graves and all of the remaining monuments that were there. And that the court information can be used by a greedy energy company, I have to think of them that way. There was no need to do that, to use that information that way. It's just an abomination. I cannot believe that we have people for whom this business is so important that they will desecrate land like that. So I just wanted to add that additional bit of information.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. What I'd like to do now is do our consent agenda. I think there's some folks that have been waiting for some of those resolutions. And then we're going to come back and turn to our reports. And I know our county administrator has something he wants to say about the budget tonight. So we'll go to the consent agenda. There's quite a number of resolutions. Let's start with Resolution A, authorizing County Administrator to execute contract with Cornell Cooperative Extension Reentry Services for jail inmates. That's ID 6524. Resolution B, authorization to accept 2016 Homeland Security Grant Sheriff's Office, ID 6510. Out of Facilities and Infrastructure, Resolution C, award of bid, Tompkins County Parking and Access Drive Improvements, ID 6509. Resolution D, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant for rehabilitation of the General Aviation Air Apron and Fence Improvements, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, that's ID 6541. Resolution E, authorizing a supplemental agreement number 15 with CNS Engineers, Inc. for rehabilitation of the general aviation apron and fence improvements design at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. That's ID 6548. F is authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration FAA grant for rehabilitate taxiways A and C, Phase 1 design, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. That's ID 6542. Resolution G, authorizing a supplemental agreement, number 16, with CNS Engineers, Inc., for rehabilitation of taxiways A and C, Phase 1 design, at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 6549. Resolution H, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant to purchase new friction measuring equipment, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 6546. Resolution I, award of bid, friction measuring equipment, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 6550. Resolution J, authorizing acceptance of a Federal
Aviation...
That's
I was
off.
Bold, Mike.
Resolution H, award of bid.
Pull that one too, please.
All right. I and K have been pulled. We have Budget and Capital and Personnel Committee. We have Resolution L, designation of 2016-2017 Tourism Promotion Agency for State, ID 6480. With the exception of the two that were pulled, can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda? Anna, seconded by Leslin. Ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. We've got 5 minutes to break. Do we want to take the break now and then come back and do the report from Joe? Martha?
I wonder if Susie and Davi, I'm sure you were here for Resolution A. I'm going to talk for just a moment about the reentry contract.
We'd love to hear from them. Do you want to come up and speak? Or you don't have to.
Might as well. It's 3 years worth of work. We might as well get our 5 seconds out of it. This has been a long process, but it's been a complete process. The proposals were good. The Cornell Cooperative Extension one was what we were looking for. And I just wanted to introduce Davi Mosey, who you might remember from the Jail Alternatives Committee that started this. Actually, it was the first subcommittee that we originated our work from. Davi and I met at a pizza place, actually, and I've been picking her brains ever since. She has done extensive reentry work in the prisons in Delaware and is just the right person, along with Lisa Ellen, to work this through and make it a complete program. So if you want to tell them a little bit about yourself, Davi.
Welcome.
Thank you, and thanks for giving me this opportunity to speak for a few minutes. As Susie stated, I spent lots of years in the criminal justice system in Delaware in various capacities. And so I'm telling everybody now that I'm going back to jail because when I moved to Tompkins County 3 years ago, I was leaving the criminal justice work behind, and I'm sucked back in, but excited about it. And really looking forward to working with other organizations in the area who's doing the work. And it's exciting to be sort of on the ground level of the work. And I can speak for myself and Lisa and Ken at Cooperative Extension that we're really grateful and excited. And more importantly, really trying to help the people who will be using our services and hoping to keep the public safe in the process, but also addressing some really serious issues and really getting at some of the root causes of why people are returning to prison and jails. So thank you.
Thank you for your words and thank you for your future efforts. In advance. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and take the break now, and then we'll take 10 minutes, and we'll come back, and we'll go to Joe's report. Okay, we're back in session. Let's go to reports from our county administrator, Joe Mariana.
Thanks, Michael. I am going to be presenting the proposed 2017 budget tonight, so brace for about 20 minutes of PowerPoint. Do your best to stay awake. I'll try to make it as interesting as I can. I always find them fascinating. I don't know why other people don't. Before I get into the budget, though, just a couple of other quick items in my report. Not to kind of pile on, but the picnic. I did want to say a couple of things about the picnic, too. I think Mike and Jim have both conveyed what we all felt, which was it really was a great afternoon. We got to know each other better and got a lot of nice thank you notes. But there were some people involved in putting this together to make it a success, and it was not a large group. So there was a picnic committee that consisted of four people. Heather Buck, who you may or may not know from personnel, staff person down in personnel. Christina Dravis, who you do know, I think. All of you know she's the head of the 911 center. Steve Wright, who's the head of the blue-collar CSEA unit. And Doug Perrine, who's the head of the white-collar CSEA unit. Those four people didn't just talk about what they wanted to do. Man, they went out and they organized, they managed, they worked the event, they rolled up their sleeves, and it was really a great success, and I really appreciate the work that all of them did. I did take my turn in the dunk tank. I went first. I got a little wet, but I think I just warmed everybody up for the next two, which are Amy and Jonathan. And either the aims improved or there was a lot of pent-up rage directed at those two people that came out as they hit the water often. But it was a great afternoon, great day. A lot more serious. A week ago, Ken Lansing, Ray Bunce, and I visited with the Commission of Corrections in Albany to talk about the jail variance. You recall that on September 1st, we had been advised that the variance was going to be revoked and we would have to literally remove 18 beds from the jail. I thought we had a good day in Albany. I think they may have been in a frame of mind after seeing all that the legislature had done over a very short period of time to express its seriousness, demonstrate its seriousness. I suspect that they were in a good frame of mind to grant us a continuation of the variance. But I do think it helped a lot that we were there to be able to make our case personally and to show the sincerity of effort. We were given a four-month extension, as everyone knows. That'll carry us through the end of the year. We have a lot of work to do in that four-month period. We do need to get underway with the population study, and I will be bringing the draft RFP to the Jail Study Committee next week for it to look at the RFP, and hopefully we can get that on the street relatively quickly, get that underway. Commission will want to see that. I think the shorthand characterization of where the commission is they want to see our numbers move, and either our population needs to go down but the bed count needs to go up. And they were very direct. They were very civil. We appreciated what they gave us, but it's clear that it's a very serious time that we're in, and we have a great deal of work to do in a short period of time. The other thing that they asked for, which is good, is a matrix showing all the ATIs that we do and participation levels in those programs. That's a good thing for us to have anyway. And so Pat Buchel and Susie Cook have agreed that they'll work on that. So we're getting that started as well to make sure that that's prepared for the next time we have to go visit the commission. So I just wanted to kind of put a punctuation mark on that visit with the Commission on Corrections. So with that, I'll go through our 2017 budget. It feels like it almost was just yesterday that we finished the 2016 budget, and here we are presenting the 2017 budget. Many of you I watched during the course of these PowerPoint presentations, you tend to go to the last page first.
Peter, was there a question on something that was said earlier?
No, I just raised my hand because I thought he was through and I wanted to ask a question.
He's going to go into his budget presentation at this point.
Right. Can I ask a question about the previous report? Is this the time to do it?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Joe, do you have any sense when you say they want our numbers to go down? And, of course, where they really want them to go down is to zero. They want the board outs to go down to zero, I would think, okay? But do you have any sense of how much they want the board outs to go down? Isn't it as simple as that? I mean, if we're not boarding out anyone, then we don't have to build a bigger jail. So are they demanding zero
I think their ideal population level, it's not precise. They want us to exist with an 82-bed facility. And on any given day, the most you should expect to be able to put into an 82-bed facility is about 66 to 70 people because of all the classifications. They would like to see us get our population down to that 66 to 70 range in the jail. That's what they would like to see. They were silent on tolerance for board outs, and I think we've reported that when we met with staff in June, they indicated they didn't see that as a long-term solution. But we didn't hear talk of board outs from the commission when we were there. They just want to see either, again, our population numbers going down or beds going up to accommodate that population.
Thank you. Martha?
So they can't reasonably expect to get to 66 to 70 by January, but they want to see progress. Do you think there would be what you said about board outs, tolerance for, you know, a handful per night or something, even if we're at 66 to 70? Because
in terms of board outs? My sense of this group, they approached this very reasonably. So I think if in the first instance we're showing progress on the things we said we would do, we've got a serious study underway. But people are going to look objectively at population projections both with and without the ATIs. If we can show that we're doing that, if we can show that we follow up on that, and again, there's an architectural element that simply gives us other options to look at to accommodate population. That's not to say it'll go that way, but we need to show that. I think if we're showing progress on getting our numbers down, they're going to keep us on a really short leash. Will they allow us to board out? My speculation, I think they'll be reasonable. But they just want to see a steady ratcheting down of our population of success in some of the things we've talked about.
I want to thank you and Captain Bunce and Sheriff Lansing for going there and making that extra effort. It's really important, and congratulations on getting that reprieve. And now we really all have work to do to make it happen. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Okay. So, again, just kind of starting at the end, I know that many of you look at the last page of the book that you're reading and the PowerPoint that I present. So just to get to I guess, the characterization of this budget. By any yardstick, this is a low growth budget. Our overall spending is up by less than 1% for 2017. That's what's proposed in the 2017 budget. There's a 3% increase in the tax levy. You recall that that's the target that was set that came out of retreat, later memorialized by the legislature. There is a 3% increase in the tax levy, very simply explained. Half of that increase goes to offset the expected reduction in sales taxes for next year. Half of it goes for that. Half a percent goes by policy to infrastructure. Every year we raise our levy by a half a point, and we commit that to capital, to infrastructure improvements. And 1% goes for everything else in this $173 million budget of ours. So if you want to know where the 3% is coming from, it's those three elements that are really the source of that increase in levy. While we're increasing levy, we're also decreasing the tax rate. We don't often talk about our tax rate. Other governments talk a lot about their tax rate. And I think it's important that we at least recognize that we have a 1.5% decrease in the tax rate. That's the third straight decrease in tax rate. Our rate is the lowest it's been since 2011. That's something good to talk about with respect to this budget. That's attributable to an increasing tax base. That's a good thing. That goes with the economy. But our levy is up by 3%. Because of those three major movers, the tax rate is down by 1.5%. The other part of the kind of the bottom line of this budget is we've done what we can to align resources with priorities. There's priorities that are both steady state priorities, but also emerging priorities that we've tried to address here. I'll be talking about a part of this budget that will help us adapt to climate change. Regulatory compliance, recruitment and retention in an aging workforce, it's really important that we put resources behind recruitment and retention. And of course, ATIs and reentry, what we just talked about with the jail. We've tried to align our resources within the constraints that we have to address those priorities. So as I always tend to do, I like to talk about the environment within which the budget is being created, beginning with the economy, because the economy has such a significant effect on any county budget. And generally, the economy is really good, including the local economy. Our unemployment rate in Tompkins County is now at 4%. That's what it was in July. That's better than it was before the recession hit. You can see the trend line there and how high it got and how now it's at a very robust 4%. Inflation is nearly non-existent. It's less than 1%. That's good because we don't have to worry about inflationary effects on most of our commodities. Consumer confidence is still strong. It's wavering a little bit, but it's still strong. Usually that bodes well for things like the sales tax. The stock market is still at record highs. That's usually a good indicator also of things that can spill over into our budget, like sales taxes. However, there's an anomaly in this mix of good economic news, and that is the sales tax. And sales tax relates to consumer spending. When you look at the trend of consumer spending over the past year and a half or so, there has been a marked decline in the local consumer spending on taxable goods. And that's going to be a story that you'll see is woven throughout this budget. If you look at mid-year spending, half the year, compare half of this year to half of the first half of last year and the first half of the year before, we're down. Spending is down by nearly 4% from 2014. That's consumer spending that drives sales tax. It's an odd anomaly in an economy that is otherwise very strong and working to our benefit. There's some other factors affecting the budget, more programmatic than economic. The indicators of need that we always watch as barometers of demands for our services. SNAP used to be food stamps. The caseload continues to decline. That's a good sign. I've always characterized that as perhaps the best barometer of underlying need. And you can see that those numbers are going down. Family assistance, one of the two temporary assistance programs. This one we don't contribute any money toward anymore, but the trend line is really good. You can see that caseloads are going down and have been going down since about 2011 or so, steady decline. The other temporary assistance program, Safety Net, this one we pay 71% of. So this one we watch most closely because it really affects bottom line. Kind of an odd trend where it was going down for a while. It took a long time before it went down after the recession, but now it seems to be blipping up again. So kind of a little bit hard to understand what's going on there. But generally, the indicators on programs are strong and good. So it's within that environment that we set our goals for the upcoming year. And you've seen these before, at least most of these before. Our primary goal was to maintain current levels of service. People depend on what we do. They depend on the snowplows being out. They depend on the mental health workers being available. They depend on the services that we provide. So priority number one was to maintain that level of service. Another priority was to sustain our investment in facilities and infrastructure, not to abandon our infrastructure, as many other governments have done, to maintain our fiscal strength, our resiliency, because times may be good now, but they're not always going to be. We want to remain resilient. We want to address those evolving priorities that I talked about earlier, the adaptation to climate change and the ability to do that, compliance, ATIs and reentry, recruitment and retention. Within this budget, you've seen the document. It's a big document with thousands of moving parts. Within those parts, there are some major items that drive the budget, though. And again, you'll recognize these from years past. The handful of items that have the most influence, sales tax, labor costs, mandates, our capital investment, our funding of agencies. Those are the big movers of our budget in most years, including this year. The single most important factor that's happening this year is happening in the sales tax. Usually when the economy grows, so does the sales tax. This year the economy is growing and the sales tax is in decline. We've seen declines in five of the past six quarters. It's the worst performance we've seen in the last 20 years in terms of sales tax collections over the last couple of years. We're projecting in this budget that we'll see a drop of 1.5% in 2016. That's compared to what we collected last year. It's my projection and my hope that we have bottomed out, that we will bottom out this year, and we will see a gradual increase in 2017. That's the basis of the sales tax projection for next year's budget. I believe it's cautious. I hope it's cautious. But I will tell you, there is enormous volatility and uncertainty in that estimate. It's hard to understate the importance of the sales tax on this budget. That blue line is what we would normally expect to see in the sales tax over time. Look back 20 years, sales tax grows by 3.4% per year. It's the average rate of growth. So that blue line shows if we just followed the normal trend line, we would have risen from $34 million in sales taxes in 2014 to $37.6 by 2017. But that's not what's happening. The red line is what we saw in 2015, what we are seeing in 2016, and where we expect to be in 2017. And that difference is $4.3 million. That's how much we have slipped behind because of this odd new trend line in sales taxes. If we'd had that $4.3 million, our property tax levy in 2017 would have been 9% less than what we're proposing tonight. So it wouldn't have been going up by 3%. It would have been going down by 6%. That's how much $4.3 million means. That's the effect this sluggish sales tax is having. We've dropped our budget estimate below last year's budget by $694,000. And again, that adds 1.5% to the property tax levy. It's basically shifting support for about $700,000 of our expenses from the sales tax base to the property tax base. Major part of this budget. Other drivers, labor costs. Most of our contracts are settled through 2017. The uniformed contracts aren't. Everybody who's settled has settled at 2.25% for next year. There is an increase in FTEs that you'll see in this budget. The FTE count is up by 10.8 positions. Most of those positions have been created over the course of 2016, and they're grant-funded or self-funded by revenues they generate. Good example, and we'll go through these when the departments come forward. In mental health, I think there were four positions that were created this year. Three were paid for by grants. The fourth is covered by, this is the compliance position, covered by Medicaid revenues that we can charge this position against. So that most of the increase is attributable to things like that. In this budget, there's a proposal to add 1.7 new FTEs. Those are in OTRs that you will see. You can see the history of our full-time roster. It has blipped up a bit, but it's still down 6% from where it peaked in 2009. So we're still far below, 40 positions below where we were back in 2009. Our fringe benefits are up slightly Our health costs are actually down from where they were in the 2016 budget. And we got good news on Friday. We don't know our pension rates until the Friday before we give you the budget. And we hold our breath. And Kevin behind me is maybe getting some color back in his face because he was holding his breath as well. We caught a break on pensions where we had thought they would rise by about 16% of payroll. In fact, they went down a hair. They were at 15.5%, and they were reduced to 15.3%. And I'll tell you how we channeled that savings in just a second in this presentation. So when you get to the bottom line of salary and fringe, total labor costs, they're up by a modest amount. They're up by 1.3%, $831,000 total dollars. The amount of that that we pay with local dollars is about $600,000 in labor costs, so modest growth in labor costs. Mandates, I said last year I never thought I'd see mandated costs go down in a budget. They went down last year. They're going down a little bit again in 2017. Not because the state has done anything to relieve us of the burden of mandates, but because reliance on some of those programs has diminished a bit, and we're seeing that in the numbers. So the mandates are down by $144,000. You can see some areas where the movement is the greatest. The big drop was in pre-K and special early intervention. DSS was essentially flat. Assigned counsel we pushed up a bit because of increased eligibility thresholds. More people will be eligible for free legal services. And mental health costs, the psychiatric costs, have been up for the last couple of years, and we raised them for 2017. This is just a chart. The red means they're going up. The green means the costs are going down. You can see when you look at that how they end up being relatively flat for next year. I always put a Medicaid chart in because even though we've enjoyed some stability in Medicaid, the state put a cap on our county's contributions to Medicaid a couple of years ago. That's good. What's bad is it's still the largest expense in our budget, and 25 cents of every dollar we levy goes to that program, to Medicaid. So it's still a huge claim on county resources. There's kind of an oddity in this budget, our snowplow contracts with towns. Many of our contracts with the towns who plow some of our roads is based on the experience over the prior winter. So we know coming into a budget what the bill is going to be because we're paying behind. We had a very light winter last year, as you all know, and the savings is about $250,000 in plowing contracts. So that accrued to our benefit. This budget takes half of those savings, I hate this word, but I use it, it repurposes that savings to put it into highway materials, basically asphalt and things like that, with the idea that when winter returns and the costs go back to where they would normally be, it mitigates the impact of having to raise taxes to cover those higher costs. So we've taken half the savings, built it in the budget, and we've redirected some of that savings to keep it in highways to mitigate the impact in the future. Capital investment, again, the levy is up by 0.5% as we have prescribed by policy. That's $233,000. The important new program in the capital plan this year, we're calling it the Natural Infrastructure Program. It's $200,000 a year, cash capital. We don't borrow for it because we see it continuing for many years. It is an investment in things like stream bank stabilization and wetland improvements and a whole number of things in the natural infrastructure that allow us to mitigate the effects of extreme weather events, which are increasingly common, to prepare ourselves better to adapt to those kind of symptoms of climate change. And again, it's funded with cash as opposed to debt. The blue line is where we see the levy going. That's with 0.5% per year added to the capital portion of the levy. The red line is where we see our actual capital expenses going over the next 10 or so years. You can see that we bump the line over the next couple, but then create additional capacity for capital reserves in the future. Another source of increases with our sponsored and agency partners. You are well aware that we kept TC3 flat. It was basically their proposal to stay flat in the hope that in the future we'll be able to have both counties the wherewithal to increase the allocation. So in this budget, TC3 is flat. We did the same $50,000 one-time allocation to TCAT as we did last year, which is what TCAT asked for, just to be to keep things steady. And there's an important shift from property tax support to room tax support for TCAD, which is a part of that agreement that was signed a few years ago where that was a survival strategy for TCAD, where property taxes would diminish as a source of support for TCAD and room tax would increase. So that had a very beneficial effect on levy. We were able to give the agencies 2%, a 2% cost of living increase, and through the OTRs provided $194,000 of one-time support to the agencies. Contingency is up by $230,000. Basically, the savings that resulted from the pension reduction, we moved over to the contingency account. Clearly, we have risks in this budget that may exceed where we typically are with sales tax, with board outs, with an assigned council eligibility question. So to help mitigate that risk, we simply took the savings from the pension reduction, and we moved it over to increase our contingent account. And I'm sure that's something that you'll be talking about along the way. We have two enterprise funds, the airport, two self-sustaining accounts. The airport, we're now in the third year of that plan that has us foregoing our administrative charges. That results in $126,000 savings to the airport. And again, that was a three-year arrangement, and the third year occurs in 2017. So we will continue to focus on what's happening at the airport to become self-sufficient, totally self-sufficient. Solid Waste has done a great job in adapting to lower prices for recycled commodities. There's more disposal income, and importantly, the annual fee will stay at $55 in the recommended budget. I'll go quickly through here because it looks, I think I'm taking more time than I expected. Just some of the larger OTRs that are funded in the recommended budget. Just a couple of them are funded with target dollars, with property tax dollars. And they are all consistent with what we talked about at the retreat. The first is an allocation to personnel to allow it to basically take a part-time position, make it a full-time position, which will allow them to increase their recruitment capacity and employee engagement. At a time when the workforce is aging, being able to get out and actively recruit a diverse workforce is increasingly important, so we put resources behind that. We've added funds to hire a half-time inspector. Yay. In Weights and Measures. So in that stroke of a pen, we increased the size of that department by fully 50%. So that's a target increase that is in the recommended budget. And so the last target increase.
Just a second, before anybody watching, these numbers, 78 and 49, that includes fringe, right?
Absolutely, okay. Salary and fringe. And when I said 50%, so the viewers know, it is a one-person operation that will go to 1.5. I talked already about the way we've applied the savings from the town plowing contracts. That's the third target OTR. The rest of the major OTRs, there's a tiny one that's with Target 2 that we'll talk about later on. The rest of the major OTRs are one time. A large one is in Highway, where they have, and I've recommended, spending $408,000 out of their reserves to pay for three major pieces of equipment that are coming due this year. Not cheap items, but again, there's available fund balance within the Highway Fund to pay for that. There's one-time money provided to the sheriff's office, and I was careful to say for conventional equipment, appliances in the jail, desks, bulletproof vests, in-car radar, and things like that, one-time for the sheriff. Technology, investments in technology and assessment that Jay will explain, some digital equipment, that'll $102,000 of digital equipment and $50,000 in the clerk's office for continued scanning. We put money in again this year. Last year, we put one-time money in for staff development and training. We did it again this year, and it's a little higher this year. And when we get to that in my budget, and Amy's, we'll explain that. There's also $10,000 for employee recognition. This is something that we've talked about in WDIC and other places for a long time, and there are resources put aside, one-time resources for that.
Again, there's $50,000 for TCAT to keep them at the same level of funding that they are right now. One of the things that I will advocate for, I've talked about this since I arrived, was a need for a countywide performance measurement system. We think we found one in youth services. We think that Amy has really piloted something called results-based accountability, which is a commercial product that seems to be working well in the governmental area. And I will be requesting a three-year, multi-year, beginning with $52,000 in 2017 to get that off the ground. There's funds for the library, but again, one-time funding for kind of hard goods at the library.
Joe?
Yes.
This is a quick question. Yeah. Sorry to go back a few slides, because you don't have to, but a question about it. The jail OTRs, I know that they requested additional staff. Would that have been through OTRs, or is that part of their base budget?
They requested it through OTRs, and there's not money in the recommended budget to pay for that. That's something the Ledge will be looking at, I'm sure, when the sheriff comes forward. They make a pretty good case.
Very good.
At the same time, with the allowance available to us, we didn't have the capacity to fund that. So there's a whole bunch, and at the end, I'll show you how many OTRs weren't funded in this budget, and there's some work to do. So in terms of outcomes, we wanted to make sure we didn't reduce services, and we didn't. We wanted to maintain our capital investments. We did. We fully fund the projects in the capital plan, and we have a new natural infrastructure initiative to deal with the effects of climate change. We wanted to sustain our ATIs and reentry, and we did. And some of the things kind of under the surface in DSS, some of those new positions that I talked about in 2016, are dedicated to helping people find housing and doing jail rehabs or evals and staffing the family treatment court. We wanted to incorporate the compliance initiatives that we have talked about for some time, and we did. We maintained those compliance efforts. We wanted to make sure that we had funding for diversity recruitment, and we were able to do that as well. We did create the natural infrastructure initiative. Our goal is to stay within the 3% levy limit. We did that. The levy is up by 3%. That's beyond the cap. The cap is at 2.22%. Now, importantly, although fiscal discipline is still very much with us, over the past few years, the penalty for not staying within the cap was the loss of rebate checks to homeowners. That's not a part of the tax cap plan this year. The state doesn't offer those rebate checks anymore. So, again, it's important to maintain our discipline, but there is not a rebate program this year that relates to the tax cap. There are some risks in this budget. I've talked about the sales tax. It is very uncertain. It's very risky. There's no predictive trend line. The jail costs are a risk. And the assigned counsel doubling the income eligibility threshold for that benefit has some real uncertainty that goes along with that as well. So kind of the home stretch here, just on the money side, the recommended levy growth is, again, 3%. That's $1.4 million in levy growth. In terms of the OTRs that were requested, a little over $3 million was asked for. That would have added $1.58 million to the property tax levy. Would have also drawn about $1.5 million out of reserves. The recommended budget hits about half of that. So the recommended OTRs total $1.74 million, most of which comes out of with one-time money, out of reserves, $1.38. And about $330,000 is added to levy to get to that 3%. So there's an unfunded $1.4 million worth of OTRs that the departments will present to you when they come to have their budgets reviewed. The total budget, there it is, it's up by 0.8%, $1.4 million. I think by any yardstick, that is low growth. The local budget up by 0.9%. The tax levy by 3%. The tax rate, again, is down by 10 cents per thousand. That's a 1.5% decrease. Now, we try to be fair and accurate in presenting the impact on an average homeowner. So you have to take into account many people had their assessments increased for 2017. So when we look at it's because the value of their home increased over the past year. So we apply the tax rate from 2016 to the median home price in 2016, which was $170. So in 2016, the average homeowner paid $1,143. This year, the median home price rose. The tax rate went down so that the average tax bill will be $1,160. So this budget would require a $16 increase for the owner of an average price home. And so that's kind of the long and short, it looks like more long than short, of the budget that you will begin reviewing later this week and will approve in mid-November.
Let's go to questions. Peter Stein, then Jim Dennis, then Martha Robertson, then Dooley.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. One was the increase in the sales tax, the decrease in the sales tax. Have you compared that to other counties and to see whether it's something special with Tompkins County or are our neighbors experiencing that same thing?
It's like a set of bad teeth in New York State. It is.
What?
It's like a set of bad teeth in New York State. There are some counties that are up. Some are way up. There are other counties that are down. Some are way down. Generally, it's been pretty flat in New York State. I think we're toward the lower end of the spectrum in terms of our performance. And we scratch our heads, Peter, to try to figure out why that might be. But, yeah.
Okay, that's my first question. My second is it goes real fast, okay, and it's hard to assimilate. But there was one thing that popped out to me that really distressed me is the loss in pre-K expenditures. I mean, I read something said in the newspaper not long ago that said that for the first time in a long, long time, the gap between wealthy people's children and not wealthy people's children is going down, the gap between that in schools. And that's, they think, pretty much attributable to this large increase in pre-K. And that, I think that's a real serious problem. I would like to know why that is, okay?
And recall, this is pre-K special education.
That's an important part.
What we've tried to do there, Peter, is to take a careful look at what our actual spending pattern has been over the past couple of years and to align 2017 with the actual expenditures that we see. So basically, no kid is turned away. So we're not denying service or minimizing service to anyone. But what we are looking at is the actual spending levels over the past few years, and we find that we can comfortably reduce the amount of money we put aside for that program and still serve the kids who need that service.
Okay, that's reassuring. The third question, my last, third and last question, is suppose we decided that we wanted to do all of the OTRs, bite the whole thing up. How much does that increase the levy? What fraction?
I think it's about probably about 4%.
You don't have a slide.
About three, you'd have to raise the levy by about another 3% or so.
Oh, so it's a big raise to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the OTRs that I didn't fund were the departments or agencies wanted ongoing target money. It looks like I gave them $1.25 million less than what was requested. So that's about 3 percentage points, maybe a little bit less than that.
In terms of
double
our increase, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Jim?
Does anyone want to move approval of the budget, and we can just eliminate all those meetings and go home? I have no questions.
Martha?
Thank you, Joe. I just want to let everybody know Joe's going to start a side business in preparing PowerPoints. And there's like a ton of information that's really clear and really understandable, and everybody should do as well as you do. But,
thank you.
A couple of points and then a couple of questions. You mentioned safety net versus family assistance. And people should understand that a few years back, up till a few years back, safety net was, I think, a 50-50 program, and family assistance was a 50-50 program split between the state and the county, or there was a federal share, and then the non-federal share was split evenly.
Right.
And a few years ago, New York State said, well, we're going to relieve you of all responsibility for family assistance, but we're going to give you more responsibility for safety net. Guess which one's going down? The one that's going down is the one we don't pay anything for. The one that's going up is the one we do pay for. Surprise. So, a question. Another comment. I think housing is going to emerge as a true priority, a desperate priority. So, I'll be looking for, and I'll talk to staff and to you and try to figure out ways that we can take some new steps that we haven't before, and maybe as one-time items that might be funded through philanthropy or through grants, but I'm going to be looking for something. What?
We have money sitting there too. We have money in the
Well, okay, so then that does lead to my question of where does this leave us on the fund balance? And I know you've used a fair amount for one-time OTRs, so at the last meeting, it seemed we heard that there was a pretty big fund balance.
Well, that's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So this would allocate $1.3 million of that. So I think we're still probably 17%, maybe. Is that a reasonable? Yeah, we were at 18, in the 18s, and so this would take away another $1.3 million.
So the percentage of fund balance would be 17.
Yeah, and that's, again, let me do the arithmetic, but I think that's a reasonable response. Yeah.
And when our target by policy is 10, right?
Yeah.
10%, then that says to me that, you know, and I understand the difference between target and one-time money, and that's really critical, but it could be a good tool. The other thing is this decline in local consumer spending. First, how do you feel okay projecting an increase of 1 point? You don't?
It's a real difficult projection to make. I said this earlier today. In my career, there's always been kind of a trend line you can follow. It's pretty predictable. It bounces with the economy, and you can make your assumptions and follow the path. There's not a discernible predictive trend line right now over the last 18 months. So basically, I'm assuming we're going to bottom out. I've done the trend lines that the computer will generate. I've taken the one that looks like the most reasonable, because the others, frankly, when you run the statistics, the machines get confused too about what's going on. So I've tried to take the one that looks like it fits the pattern the best, and that has us going up by 1.4%.
Okay, I just wonder, we've talked about low gas prices, fuel prices as one of the reasons, but I wonder if online spending is the source, because there's some capture of sales tax for state sales tax, theoretically, where there's a brick and mortar store. But there's any online spending, there's no sales tax, is that right? There's no...
More so today than there's ever been. I think the real question is whether New York State allocates it accurately to the counties that are the origins of the sale. I mean, we've been talking in our Monday meetings, and in fact, I reached out to NYSAC to ask whether it's time for an audit. And NYSAC is intrigued, not so much by the audit, because that sounds kind of negative, but in sitting down with the state and trying to figure out, do they have it right? Because one theory is, in a community like ours, there's probably a lot more use of online sales stuff than there might be in some other counties. So are we getting an accurate share of the revenue generated by those online sales? I think that's something that we don't know, and maybe NYSAC can help us look at.
So it's New York State's responsibility to allocate depending upon where the buyer lives?
I think so.
Oh, there couldn't possibly be anything wrong with that formula. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, Joe, I just wanted to underscore something that you said, and I think it was important. That's about mandates. When you say up there, as you said, that mandates are down, that's our spending for mandates. But it's not because New York State has relieved the mandate on us to pay for it. All that's happened is the caseload has gone down, which happens when the economy is better, and which is likely to go up again as soon as the economy gets worse again. I just wanted to say that. Carol.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over Dooley.
Okay.
Let me take Dooley, then Carol.
And mine is really quick. Your very last slide, could you go to, please? Is that it? $16, yes. The change looks like 17 to me. I was puzzled.
Oh, Kevin and I talked about this. There's rounding that goes on in these numbers. So 16 is the accurate amount. So if you look at the first number, the 1,160, that may be $1,159.73 or something. So it's the rounding effect that you're seeing.
All right.
But 16 is a good number. Yeah.
It just looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Carol, then.
You'll find other ones in here as well. Yeah.
Okay. I have a few. While we're on this slide, though, so refresh my memory as to whether there's an impact of new wood that gets worked into this and how and what that new wood was that you used.
Yeah, I don't have the breakdown on how much of the growth in the tax base is new stuff. Jay can get us that information if that's interesting to you. Certainly the growth of the tax base has been really important. Our tax base grew by 4.5% over the last year. You don't see 4.5% growth in tax base very often. Some of it was just the appreciation of values. Some of it was new construction. And Carol, we can get that for you. But that's why, even though the levy is going up, the tax rate is going down because the base grew faster than the levy. That's how you arrive at the tax rate.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to make sure my memory was correct on that. So that's why that number doesn't say we're not 3% and
yes,
whatever that figure would be. I'm wondering if it's time for start using for next year different indicators of consumer spending. If we're not getting an accurate, we haven't in a few years. We've been surprised by the sales tax figures. And the ones that you went over were things like, the numbers on employment. So we have a low unemployment rate here. That's great. But maybe we've got somehow a built-in assumption that because the rate is low, because people are having jobs, maybe their salaries used to go up, to cover additional spending. And they're just not, that's not happening. Maybe they're spending a bigger percentage of their income on their housing because we see the housing costs going up and so many of them are renters, which means it goes up, or energy costs or whatever the big expenditures are. So maybe the fact that that unemployment numbers are lower here isn't a good indicator, as may not be the stock market anymore. When you've got fewer and fewer huge players in the stock market gaining, it's not you and me, and that it's not our stock funds that are going up at those same rates when you've got a smaller number of players owning a bigger percentage of the market, stock market. And then I have a question on the and so I don't expect an answer tonight, but maybe there's some other indicators we could be using. And then I still have a question about the pre-K and concerns about it. Because the demographics, as I understand it, there are more kids than there used to be. So maybe I just didn't catch all of the answer to Peter. But I don't understand why, how it could go down, or spending could go down that much and still be meeting.
Again, we're looking at what we've actually spent over the last couple of years. And we're bringing the budget down to really match that. So we're aligning the budget with our actual expenses. So in 2016, I would expect that we'll have a budget surplus in that account. You don't want to bring a surplus into the following year. So, again, it's just a realignment of our budget numbers to match up to what our actual expenses have been. And again, we're not denying service to anybody. We're not reducing services. It's just...
But is there stuff in here that will tell us whether it's numbers going down or what those services cost us going down? Are we... Did we increase the number of kids per provider?
I think when you get to when you review the health department budget, those are the right questions to ask Frank Krupa about levels of activity and how that affects his numbers.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Peter and then Jim.
I just had one quick comment to answer a question that Martha asked from a personal experience about maybe it's in... The loss of revenue has to do with internet spending. I've been declaring now for, I don't know, 10 years now how much money I spend in internet purchases that don't get compensated for. When I started doing that, it was like many hundreds of dollars a year. And now it's down essentially to $2 or $3, because the only place that I can find that I use is eBay, the only place that doesn't take your income tax, doesn't pay the tax. So, just very small items that electronic items for $5 that I buy there. So essentially, for me, that's completely gone.
Right, but the question is, does that gets paid to New York State? And what we just heard from Joe is that then it's up to the state to send it back to the county where you live.
Yeah, I have to give all of the places that used to be
right,
free now.
Right.
I have to. They ask me now, where do you live and in what county?
Right, and that goes to New York.
No,
state. No, it doesn't come to us except that New York State allocates it. They have a formula. They have.
Okay, let's. I think Jim's up.
These are all very interesting comments and questions, and I think that we will deal with these as we go through the process, but I think it's a great idea that Joe has contacted the state to ask about the sales tax thing, internet sales, because it's a mystery to all of us. And Martha, I just wanted to remind you that sales tax 1%, $320,000. So, you know, when we're talking about numbers, That's what we're thinking about.
Joe, we want to say thank you for your presentation and all the work. We know all summer you've been working. We know Kevin's been working on it, all department heads and staff throughout. And it means a lot to have this presentation and know that we're about to embark on a budget process second to none as far as counties are concerned, and we've got the ammunition to be looking at.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go next to our county attorney's report, Jonathan Wood.
I don't have a report other than to remind everybody that I do need your time in executive session, so please keep that in mind.
Then let's go to Rick Snyder, our finance director.
And I have no report for us tonight. Thank you.
Any questions for either Rick or Jonathan? Thank you. Any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? All right, let's go to standing committees.
Should we add a resolution?
I'm sorry, was there something that...
A joke about adding a resolution based on the amendment. It's a joke.
All right.
A joke.
All right, let's start with Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne is the chair.
Mr. Chair, I just want to echo the sentiments of the county administrator, the deputy county administrator, and others on the employee recognition picnic. Thanks to the picnic committee, thanks to personnel. It's great to see it, seen it happen, and to get such amazing and positive feedback from the employees, just in terms of getting to meet somebody else outside of their own department, so they didn't even work for the county. It was interesting that to see some of that happen, and we hope more of it can happen, and we can use that opportunity every year to offer special recognition to many of our employees. So I just want to echo those sentiments. That's my report.
Questions? The Old Library Committee has not met. Go to Public Safety Committee.
Wait,
Peterson.
Question on
yes.
that? So is there any update on where the city stands coming to their conclusion, or maybe what our process would be if that's not going to
The proceed? Last we heard was after the Landmarks Commission was unhappy that there was going to be a new proposal with some adjustments, and I don't think we've heard back anymore, have we, Joe? Peter, Public Safety Committee.
Yeah, I think everything that we've done on the Public Safety Committee has already been reported here. Our next meeting is at the usual time, Thursday in the month at 3:30.
Carol?
So I just have a request for public safety. On the consent agenda, and I didn't pull it off because I'd gotten the answer for me, on the Homeland Security grant, there was money in there for surveillance equipment and also for construction expense, it was listed as. And I did communicate with Brian Robison, who had written the memo, who said that it's that it really wasn't any capital involved with this. That was, you know, what was being adjusted, and that the surveillance equipment was it was binoculars and a long-range spotting scope.
That's what
but
I heard.
When these things come to us in the future, if they could be asked to include that. Detail.
Well, that detail was included when that was at the
well,
time.
In the memo that comes to all of us.
Yeah.
If we're surveilling people, yeah. my particular concern is that if we're surveilling people, that we should be aware of how we're doing it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Leslin?
Mr. Chair, I just wonder if there's any update on the RFP process for the police consolidation study. I can't remember when it was those responses were due and what next. And anything else from the federal government on the Hornbrook Road issue?
Joe, I think you're the one who's been working on that.
Yeah, Paul is not here to talk about Hornbrook, but there was a visit by DOJ with SWAT folks. I'll let her report on that in committee. With respect to the consolidation study, there's been a bit of a delay in that. We have now found out that the state's MBE requirements, MWBE requirements, will apply to that process. We need to make sure that that gets woven into all of the things that we put out there. So we're going to lag behind by about 45 days while we do all that.
Okay.
We picked up a different signal.
Anything back. Uh-huh.
We actually got some responses back, and we're going to have to kind of revisit. We're going to, again, need to bring into the process the state's MWBE requirements. So they will resubmit with that new set of requirements more explicit. So
sorry that I'm being a little dense, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
So those who have you said you have received some responses already?
Yes.
So now we're going to ask them for like an addendum?
Like a rebid.
Too?
Almost like a rebid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anna?
Just a quick summary of where we stand with respect to the RFP for the jail study of the population. The population study.
Yeah. I think I sent you a copy this morning.
Yep.
I'll be sending that over to the jail study committee for it to review. and hopefully approve, bless, so that we can get it out on the street. So that will come to that committee next week.
Thank you for sending that this morning, by the way.
That committee meets right after public safety, I think, next week. Correct? Is it 5 o'clock or so next
Correct.
Thursday?
Thank you for sending that.
All right. Anything else? Let's go to Health and Human Services Committee. Leslin again.
Oh, yeah, that would be me. HHS has not met since our last legislature meeting, so I'm surprised about why we have this. I thought this was on our last legislature agenda, but I guess not. No, because we did this at our last HHS committee meeting, which was before.
It needed to go through the budget committee, Leslie.
Thank you very much. Now, what am I going to do without you, Kathy? So, but we have not met. We meet on the third Monday of the month, so that's coming up. So, let's see, and I have Resolution M, appropriation from contingent fund to purchase 5 electric vehicles in the Department of Mental Health, ID 6493, and I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by, who wants a second? How about Anna? Discussion? Dooley, then Martha.
In line 3 of the resolution, it says achieving an 80% reduction. The usual language is at least an 80% reduction. I wondered if we could add the words at least.
Is that
friendly? That would be fine with me, Dooley, at least.
Friendly.
In line 3.
Anything else? Someone else had their hand up. Martha?
There's a good thing.
Well, thank you.
All right, you ready to vote? This takes a short form roll call.
Ms. Chalk?
Carol?
Ms. Chalk?
Absolutely. It's about time we're doing this.
I take that as a yes.
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Is there anyone who would like to be recorded as a no?
We're a little flop happy at this point.
All right. Yeah, that passes.
That's the time we start.
It's unanimous. Let's move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Dave McKenna is the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. F and I met this evening just prior to this meeting. One of the things that came out of that meeting was that the Bridge New York program, we are putting in a request for funding for 2 bridges and 5 culverts throughout the county. In that program, and hopefully we can snag at least some of them. Anyway, I withdrew Resolution J, document ID 6545, because at the moment it's the cart in front of the horse. We do not have the paperwork on the grant, so we can't accept it. Coming back to us probably next.
You mean you
meeting.
Pulled it from consent agenda?
Pulled it, but we created an amendment to it.
No, not that one.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little confused, Dave. Your intention was to, when you asked for it to come off consent, your intention was to withdraw it?
It's withdrawn. It was withdrawn at the committee level.
Okay.
But it was still on the agenda for tonight, so that's why I pulled it.
All right, so okay. that clarifies
and
that.
For clarification, the reason we pulled it is we have not received the grant paperwork yet.
All right.
Secondly, Resolution K, document ID 6547, award of bid snow removal equipment, plow broom, Ithaca Tompkins County Airport. We did pass this, even though we have not received the grant funds, with a contingency that we do receive the grant funds before anything's done, and that was done to expedite the purchase of the equipment because of the closeness of winter weather and possibility of not getting it until after the first of the year. So we want to be able to go out and get it as soon as we get the approval or get the grant funds, which should be within a day or two. But.
So is there a wording change in the resolution?
Yeah, we added a contingent. It's contingent on us getting that grant.
Can you read that additional wording, please?
not sure exactly how we word it. The way I'm wording it here is contingent on receipt of the of an FAA grant.
Okay. All right. So that's what you're proposing with that addition. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna.
Where does that go?
Fast second hand, huh?
Well, we worked hard on this before.
All right. Discussion. Martha.
Where does that go in the resolution?
In the resolved?
Like I'd say in the first resolve, at the end of the first resolve.
Yeah, it's in the resolved.
At the first one, line 24?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And that concludes my report.
Any questions for Dave? Martha?
Well, maybe it's the jet lag. I was on an overnight flight from Seattle last night, so I thought you pulled resolution C. See about the parking.
The letters don't coincide. They're different letters, and depending on whether it's on the committee resolution sheet or this resolution sheet.
Okay. I thought you pulled from consent award of bid Tompkins County Parking and Access Drive Improvements Project. No?
No.
No. Just that was jelly. Okay. Well, can I ask a question about that one anyway? Because it says that we are going to remove one unused curb cut / apron on Court Street. I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Joe?
Yeah. It's east of the main one.
There are actually two, and it's between the old jail and this building. If you look, there's the main entrance to the parking lot, but then there's another curb cut right next to it that may even have a parking meter in front of it. Mm-hmm. So it's very deceptive, and it's unused.
It's an old driveway apron is what it is there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's on the end of the
it's the
this
end right
parking
here.
Lot here? Oh, okay.
Right over there, yeah.
All right. When I read that, and then I also had this experience of people coming out of our main parking lot onto Court Street because Tioga is closed. I'm like, wow, now I'm really confused. But okay. All right. Thank you.
Dooley.
I don't think this is Dave's responsibility, but maybe you know the answer. When will the Tioga Street exit be available to us again?
At this point in time, I really do not know.
I think it's a couple of weeks max. Yeah. The good news about that is the work is being done. That new curb is being placed without charge by the city. So we're getting a new curb in that spot. But it will be, when they started, it was a two-week project. So we burned off some of those days already.
Yeah.
Anna?
I just wanted to point out, and I guess, this is also for anyone who might possibly still be paying attention and listening in the community at this point in our long meeting. But what was the most exciting for me as an environmentalist in the community and someone who tries as much as possible to bike to work when I don't have a cast on my foot, that this, for the first time, we'll put 25 bike spots. There'll be three different bike racks, all that will be covered on the three different parking lots as part of this project to honor our commitment as a Tompkins County legislature to move in the direction of pedestrian-focused and alternative modes of transportation-focused. And I really appreciated that part of this. So I just want to honor that and commend the group for putting that in there.
Okay, anything else for Dave?
Yeah.
Carol.
So I sat in on the tail end of the committee meeting because I had questions, but I didn't quite catch the beginning of what Arel was saying because I had questions about the size of this contract relative to what was written in the resolution. And
as I understood it in committee, I didn't have it open in front of me, but I saw you were talking about it. So now that I read it over, it's not clear to me that this has in the resolution all that is included in this project. So I just think we ought to be adding to this. Is it too late to do this? This is, as I understand it, this is for rebuilding or whatever you call it, renovation.
It passed.
Paving of all parking lots at the old jail, that the Tompkins County Courthouse, old jail, Daniel Tompkins.
The resolution has already been acted on by the legislature.
Could we have that added to? Oh, there is no memo for it. If you're looking at this, it looks like it's.
Why don't you make a statement listing those things and ask Kathy to include them in the minutes?
Yeah, could you please include in the minutes and maybe even as a note at the bottom of the resolution when it gets put into the minutes? In the minutes would be good.
What do you want it to say?
Well, whatever this project actually includes. That this project includes, do you call it rebuilding of a parking lot, renovation? It's not just paving.
Reconstruction.
Are they all parking lots at the courthouse / old jail / Daniel Tompkins building complex? Including the alleyway?
Carol?
Yeah?
He passed out a memo that explains it a little better.
Okay. Well, so could a summary sentence from that memo that it says what was included in this project? So otherwise, it sounds like we're spending $482,000 to repave an alleyway.
I think we got it, Carol. We know we got what you want. We'll put that in as a statement from you.
Thank you. Hmm.
Okay, anything else for Dave? Transportation Committee has not met. We'll meet again on the 14th. Any questions? Government Operations Committee, Dan Klein is the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Government Operations Committee is going to be meeting tomorrow in this room at 3 o'clock. That's a half hour earlier than our normal start time, so just note that. Two big things we'll be discussing. One is that the state recently passed legislation that enables counties to provide for a late application procedure for low-income seniors. I'm trying to have to read this right. For low-income senior citizen real estate, real property exemptions. The state passed legislation. Counties can act on it. We're going to take a look at it and see if we want to act on it locally. And the other thing we'll be talking about is Title VI policy for Tompkins County. Has not been updated since the early 1990s, so we've got a new version to look at and hopefully pass tomorrow.
Questions? Thank you, Dan. Charter Review, no. Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Martha Robertson.
Thank you, Mike.
Chair.
We already did the one resolution and that we had on our agenda. The committee met on August 17th, and the bulk of the meeting was in the hearing about and discussing the greenhouse gas emissions inventory, as I mentioned before. And Ed will be bringing a report in some form to the full body when there's time on the schedule for the legislature meeting. Our next meeting is August 21st. Okay, August. September 21st at 3 o'clock, Wednesday in September 21st in this room. And if I could just take a moment and ask, Jim, you said about the budget, 1% on the levy is $320,000?
No, sales tax. 1% on the levy is $460,000.
$460,000.
Right.
Okay.
1% increase in sales tax. Each 1% is $320,000.
Okay. It's not every year. It's a little different. So it's $460,000. Okay.
$466,000.
All right. That's all I've got.
Okay. Now let's go. Any questions for Martha before we move on? Go to Charter Review Committee. Dooley Kiefer is the chair.
The next Charter Committee meeting is Monday, the 12th of this month at 9:45. The agenda will be out very soon.
Questions? Jim Dennis chairs Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee.
Thank you, Michael. I have one resolution. It's a budget adjustment appropriation of unspent funds from 2015 and prior years to various accounts of departments that report to the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, and I would move that, commonly known as rollover.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn Morey. Discussion? Ready to vote? All those in favor, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Short form roll call.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Is there anyone there who wants to be recorded as a no? Not seeing any. We'll call it unanimous. Thank you.
Let me just make a couple of comments about the schedule. We start Thursday at 5:30 in this room. We have... And let me say also that the budget you're looking at has been built with the new process that we have, the new software. And maybe you mentioned that at the beginning that the county has recently used. And my sense is that from talking to Joe and Kevin that it's always in the vein that we're trying to make things more clear and understandable, not only for us, but for people who may ask questions about it, and clearly the department has. So it seems to have worked fairly well coming out of the box. So I appreciate, and I think we all will, with the work done by the staff to Joe and Kevin to get this thing in position to do this. We will be here 5:30 on Thursday, and we have heavyweights of the first. It's big time group, Soil and Water, Highway, Office of the Aging, Social Services, County Clerk, and the District Attorney. So come ready to ask questions. We will have food sponsored by the legislature the first time, and then after that I will take up a collection to provide food for us during the meetings that follow along. So. I look forward to seeing you all on Thursday, and that concludes my report.
Questions for Jim? Oh, Carol's got her hand up.
Will they be taped and placed online?
I'm sorry?
Will the sessions be taped?
I assume.
And placed
I don't know.
Online?
I mean,
yes, they will be. Thank you.
I'm sure their audience is out there waiting to watch.
For the first time tonight.
We found out we have one more viewer today.
I get calls about our meetings.
You have a question?
I have another question, not on that topic, though. It's on the have we scheduled a meeting yet regarding our direct reports?
No, we have not.
Thank you.
For the first time tonight, we've added the Jail Study Committee to our lineup, chaired by Rich John. Before he starts, I just want to underscore something. A special committee has the same standing as our regular committees. It is tasked with a particular item. In this case, it has to do with the jail. But it acts and has all the same authority as any other committee to pass resolutions and recommend them to the legislature. It's not a subcommittee of another committee. Rich?
We're going to have our first meeting on the 15th, Thursday, after the Public Safety Committee meeting, so 5 o'clock.
Questions? Thank you, Rich. Yes.
I'm sorry. So, our standing, the special committee, there'll be notices that go out so that the public will know, and there'll be an opportunity if people want to come and
yes,
sit in and participate.
The agendas will be public, just the same as everything else.
Just want to make sure. Thank you.
Martha?
So, do we expect that to be the regular time for that committee, 5 o'clock?
I think so, yes. Yeah, if we need to reschedule to another time, we'll figure that out.
Thank you.
Let's take the minutes of August 16th. Is there a motion?
Move.
Lesland, seconded by Dave. Discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? We have one opposed. Any unfinished business? We need to move into executive session to discuss potential real estate purchase. We will come back out of executive session, and we will adjourn. We don't anticipate taking any action at that time. So I get a motion to go into executive session. Anna, seconded by Dave. All in favor of executive session, please raise your hand. Those opposed, we'll go into executive session.